that's how you start the show. You feel me? Like, that's how you start the show. Wow. I'm with Coma White CPW. Kurt Hologram confirmed for Louder Than Life.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
I would fund it.
There might be a Kurt Hologram in the show tonight. Just saying.
There might be.
You kind of have a Kurt Cobain thing going on with your hair right now.
I'm trying to honestly channel my, like, inner Kurt Cobain.
Like, with the roots?
Yeah.
Did you do that just for today?
Just for today, yeah.
Oh, wow, I love
yeah,
the commitment.
That's how committed I am. No, I'm like this every day.
How much do you think that video cost to make?
That's a good question.
What do you guys think?
I bet you like 50K.
Wow.
No, more than that.
Probably because it was the 90s where they actually had the coin to drop on music videos like that back then.
Google
Yeah.
Jake, Google it.
On it.
Wait, we can just ask Jake to do things?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my first time in person.
It just depends.
I mean, there's a level, there's HR there.
Yeah, we do have HR here.
Oh, okay.
So, what's up, chat? It's Tuesday, which I missed yesterday. We got Ash with us. We got Josh Balls here still. And producer Jake's here. Balls, why are you so sad today? What's going on, man?
To be honest, I know we're it's just whenever we go down these things, we took the mystery sessions from a podcast, the Black Craft podcast. We wanted to bring it on the Twitch platform, but it always takes a little part of my soul away from me, you know, deep diving into these things and talking about the death of people. And it's just weird coming from me because I just feel like I attach my, you know, not really my soul to these things, and it's, you get really attached to them and attached to these people and these stories, and it just hits you a little bit. And I'm trying to like disassociate and be okay with it and be on a little track and be okay and not sad. Like,
I'm trying to feel sorry for Balls, but like, I like go to your house and all you have is full of dead shit. So like, all you care about is dead shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't have expected that from you.
Yeah, I'm,
well,
because
I attach to things,
you, Balls.
You know?
So it's a sensitive Balls.
I love you guys.
Sensitive Balls. I like it.
Yeah. We love a good...
My balls have been sensitive lately.
Balls.
I
mean,
I feel like it's me. Every time I'm around, you're sad. Is it me?
It's you. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, he was sad before.
He was sad before.
Oh, good.
Google did say it's between 30 and 50K.
Jake, you turn yourself up a little bit, please. 30 and 50K.
I could have made that video for $100.
Well, now you can do it honestly for free on an iPhone.
Right.
Honestly.
But
isn't that crazy when you look back at those videos? Sorry, Jake, but you look back at the videos what have been then and now, and you're like especially ones from the 80s, and they're like these are shit. And now it's like, you're making videos in your garage.
But that's kind of what makes them good. You know? That's kind of what makes them good.
Yeah. These are shit.
But they're good.
Yeah. Iconic.
Yes.
Iconic.
So welcome to everyone that's tuning in live on DW Presents. And if you're listening on podcast chat, we're putting this out after as well. You can listen to over and over again. So we have the amazing Ash Costello joining us today.
Hi. I left my hobbit hole to come here and be in person.
Well, nice. We appreciate having you. We have Bobby Blackcraft, from co-founder of Blackcraft Cult. And then, of course, the one and only Josh Balls, ex-motionless and white.
Why is he so sensitive, dude? Sensitive balls. Like, what's going on, bro?
Hey, I left my hole to be here, too.
Yeah, why?
My hole?
What's going on, bro? Like, I guess I can, real quick, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, Jake, but I guess I can kind of understand what you're saying, like when we were doing the other murder mystery sessions ones.
You were really infected by the JonBenet Ramsey one.
The JonBenet one fucked me up because I have a daughter, and obviously this one, you know, I'm going to save my thoughts to the end of all this, right, like we always do, because I'm usually like, this person did it, you know?
We have to go, hold on, Bob,
right.
Hold on.
So I'm gonna save myself, but... Like, no, Balls, I get it. This one hits home for me really hard, too. I'm a huge Nirvana fan. I'm such a huge Kurt Cobain fan, obviously. And having a daughter, and it's crazy because growing up, I always thought of Kurt's suicide letter and the things he said in the suicide letter. And then it wasn't until, like, I had Jordan, my daughter, the things he said about, like, having a daughter.
Yeah.
Fuck, does it hit home so hard. So, well, I'm going to stop, but... I get what you're saying, Balls. So I get why you're sensitive today. Sensitive Balls. Can we see a smile?
Can we just give us a smile?
One smile.
I got my teeth. I got my teeth clean today.
You can smile.
Not a fake smile.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
All right.
Thank you, Balls.
All right.
Thank you.
I don't have fake teeth, but it's all right.
But everyone, thank you for tuning in. Today is the mystery sessions. We are doing, of course, the Kurt Cobain case. That is what's on the table for today. So in chat, here's how this format is going to happen. We're going to go through everything. We're going to go through as much as we can in the time limit that we have. We're going to go through the backstory, where Kurt came from, him meeting Courtney, and then his death. And then, of course, the two possible outcomes that could have been, and there may be more.
There's
but
only
hey.
One outcome, by the way.
But
I don't know why.
Anyways,
here he goes.
I don't know why people do this.
Anyways, let me finish.
Why people do this.
Let me finish. It's either, you know, we're going to go through whether Courtney killed him or if Kurt killed himself.
There's only one outcome. I don't even know how you can put two up there.
Wait.
How can you put two up there?
Just wait.
Bobby, we have an hour 45 to fill.
That's a long fucking time. I'm good for like 5 minutes, honestly, max.
Yeah.
That's 5 minutes, and I'm like done.
So chat, and you are also going to be involved in this. We want to hear your take on each and every little aspect that we go into.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Chrissy Mills.
What'd she say? Looking good, balls? Mom, calm down.
Really? Okay.
Anyways,
sorry.
Then you guys will vote on whether you think on one of the outcomes, whether he killed himself. Or
that's
if
fine.
Courtney did it, or other.
We'll just take some callers today, too.
And we're going to take some callers.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I think I know why this hit me a little bit more. Because, and Ash, you'll get this. And Bobby, I mean, you've toured as well.
Yeah.
But being a musician and understanding, and that's why, Bobby, we touched a little bit.
Balls.
Before the thing, because I know where your head is at now, which... And then it just, you know, it's weird. Like being a musician in that world and understanding it. And Ash, again, you know what I'm talking about when we start to dive into this.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It definitely comes with, I heard a lot about pressure. A lot of people were claiming he was feeling a lot of pressure because they'd gotten so famous. So I can definitely, as you can, relate to the pressure of performing and being this idea that maybe you're not. Really like something that your fans put on you, and then you have to live up to this thing, and it's very hard to live up to. And I mean, just a mountain of different things that you go through being a musician. I think the pressure is like probably the number one hardest sometimes to deal with,
because you're a normal human being, and people don't understand that they put you on this pedestal, and you don't understand that like you're sad as fuck too. Like I've gone through days where I like, you know, we've all been depressed. We've all taken these roads. That thought has been through everybody's mind, and it's such a terrifying thought to put into your brain, and especially being on the road when you play for 30 minutes and you are your own thoughts, and that can be super destructive sometimes, and especially someone that's, you know, on and off drugs like heroin and things like that.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
It's such a crazy world to think that. You know, and this goes to everybody in the chat and everybody that's listening. If you're a musician, not a musician, just have a conversation with somebody, you know, before we dive into whether someone killed somebody or not, you know, whether it's suicide or not suicide. Suicide is a real thing. It's such a terrifying thing. And if anybody's has any issues, make sure you reach out to us. All four of us are always an open door to have a conversation with. And we love you. And whether you're too proud to be like hiding behind a door. And it's okay to be fucking sad, and it's okay to admit that you're sad. So I just wanted to open the door with that. I know we don't want to be sad, but we want to be like happy.
I think that's a great way to start.
That's a great way to start it.
That's all
Neely Johns. Thank you for speaking.
Because as we dive down this, Ash, I think you should take it away, walk us through it, because you got the voice of an angel. Right?
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait to just get to the end of this, because it is heavy.
You like, always say that. He's so excited to give us his theories.
I am. But this episode is really heavy. Like, it is kind of crazy how heavy it is. It's pretty wild. So,
yeah.
I'm ready to do it. I don't. Are you ready? Chat?
So, yeah. Well,
Jake?
I think we briefly touch on, I know a lot of people know of Kurt Cobain, but obviously we're just going to point out some things about Kurt Cobain.
Okay.
And then we'll get into how Kurt and Courtney met. And then, chat, we want your engagement to see what you think leading up to this point. If there's anything already outstanding that you want to address or anything like that, that you can put in the chat, that we want your opinion too.
Yep.
So
And obviously, these are our opinions.
Yes. As my disclaimer goes, the views and opinions expressed during the show are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect those of DW Presents or Twitch. Please take them as opinions. And
yeah,
not
so,
facts.
You know, when we say something and we piss you off, don't email Haley at DWP customer service because people do that.
Email Ash.
Yeah.
You guys piss people off?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We tell people to fuck off all the time.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
In the chat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's my amazing. God, yes.
Jake tells people to fuck off all the time.
What are you watching?
balls.
Someone tell Jake to go fuck himself real quick.
No.
Okay, sorry. We don't create toxic kids. All right, let's do this. I'm ready. I see Harbinger's pissed.
Wait, hold on. Harbinger, fuck you.
Yeah, see?
Whoa, right, what did Harbinger do?
Nothing. He says he's pissed right now.
Whoa, bro.
So much.
Barry Wingle,
so that's my lawyer. My lawyer's in the chat, the real some homeless man.
Yeah.
This would be awesome. Stoked for this. That's my lawyer. No, but really.
I'm going to need his phone number.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And then, so, Ash, I'm thinking you dive down. If anyone wants to add anything to the background of Kurt, we can do that after we get through some of these quick facts and notes about Kurt and then how they met. So
feel free to stop me at any point.
And I just want to point out, as you go into this, I think these first facts that you're about to drop, I think are the most crucial things as this story develops, right? Like when you're talking about some of the stuff that he had, like the issues, like the depression, ADHD. I'll let you dive down, but I think this is so important right here to like just got to pay attention.
Okay.
No,
are you ready?
Yeah, I have ADHD, so I'm gonna like focus.
Okay.
All right. We ready, Jake?
Oh, we're ready.
It's time.
Let's dive into it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Am I ready? God. Okay.
Fuck, it's on you, honestly.
Wow. Okay. Here I go. Cobain's early years leading to his death. Despite being one of the most influential bands in the 1990s, Kurt Cobain hated the attention. He eventually turned to drugs and alcohol to escape his depression, ADHD, and bipolar disorder. On top of that, the guitarist suffered from chronic bronchitis and intense pain from an undiagnosed chronic stomach condition. Cobain struggled with heroin addiction and chronic health problems such as depression. He also struggled with the personal and professional pressures of fame, and he had a tumultuous relationship with his wife, fellow musician Courtney Love. Kurt highly disliked fame, the status he and Nirvana were in. He never wanted the band to be famous in the first place. He just wanted to play grunge music in shit clubs and keep the Seattle scene moving. Fun fact, the song Something in the Way was a song he hated so much and one he never wanted to be released to the world. So much so that the recording itself is him singing outside of the studio and the vocals are turned all the way up because he's whispering the song to himself in the studio lobby. So he's dealing with a lot. That's a lot of stuff, you know?
There's a lot there to touch on, right? You're battling depression. You're battling ADHD. You're battling a bipolar disorder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chronic pain. And I think, you know, for some, you two could probably definitely relate to this because Ball's like being so passionate in music, you know, like, and you're so passionate in music. Like, for me with Blackcraft, like, I started Blackcraft as a passion project, right? And you didn't really understand what came with that, like the money, the success, the responsibility, right?
Yeah, so the judgment.
The pressure, when you talked about pressure, right? So I can understand all that.
That's true.
And then you add drugs and alcohol on top of it.
Yeah, and then you add BPD and a chronic pain.
Yep.
And ADHD and depression. So there's like, that's a lot to
it's
deal
heavy.
With.
It's a lot right there.
Okay, so I just think
it's crazy, which I did not know, is that he never wanted fame. Like
because he's just a fucking real artist, you know?
I believe that.
Yeah, of course, dude. He was like this Seattle dude that just loved music and was a real artist. And that's what I was trying to say was like, you do music, right? Balls, when I first saw you play fucking the Vans Warped Tour stage that was like the size of this casket, right? You weren't out there for fame. You weren't out there for money. It was your passion. It was your lifeline, right?
He's like, a little bit.
No, but...
Balls,
I can't hear you. I can't hear you, Balls.
Are you muted? Yeah, I don't know why you muted yourself.
So I just didn't want to, like, why I was going.
Gotcha.
I didn't want to, like, hear. But the big thing is, you know, it's honestly half true. I mean, everybody wants to be what they aspire to be. You know, they want to be that Kurt Cobain. You want to be that, you know, you want to be up there. I mean, I kind of a little bit disagree with that. And I feel like he did that as a little bit of a publicity stunt, I think, to pull back from and to make his band bigger in the light of what it was. And I think yes, he wanted to be a singer-songwriter. I understand that. He wanted to be an artist. But in the back of everybody's head, everyone wants to be some sort of successful, whether that's to be played on the radio or to play Vans Warped Tour or to whatever. But every single day, I thought I was successful. So whether that light is differently and how it's shed onto people, it's like every day there was always a milestone met, where whether we, our first tour, I was like, this is amazing. I never thought we'd be able to tour in my life. You know, to having a song on the radio, I never thought we'd have a song on the radio. To playing Vans Warped Tour main stage, never thought we'd do that. You know, having a top 10 radio, top 10 Billboard song. So it's like those things that, like, you don't expect to ever have, but you dream of them. So I kind of, it's really weird to me that people always say that he never wanted to be famous, because I feel like that's such a cop out. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
I don't know.
It might be paraphrased a little bit.
I think I know what you're trying to say, but I feel like it just kind of happens. Like, you know, Nirvana just kind of happened, if you think about it. It wasn't like a 20-year thing, you know, like you look at Nirvana, it happened overnight in a weird way.
They never thought that style of music would ever drop the way it did.
MTV Unplugged. But to your point, Balls, I guess you're kind of right, right? Like, to some degree, I know what you're saying, because if I didn't want fame, I wouldn't go on MTV Unplugged and play, right? Like, that's, you know, true. What that's going to be. Yeah. So I get what you're kind of saying, you know?
You can still say no to those things. That's but true. I mean, you still want the success of the people around you. I mean,
fair.
Your family, your bandmates, your, you know, everything that was around you, you still want to be, you're at that point, you don't want to be famous, but you want to take care of the people that are around you. Mm-hmm. And what links to that is, you know, that the Cobain estate is worth billions of dollars.
It is.
That's insane.
Billions of dollars.
That's why, anyways.
Like, so, James.
I think Amber in the chat said he probably wanted success, but not necessarily the fame. I mean, yeah that's probably what it is, because
you guys are both
massive musicians. You know that with the success comes the fame, and then comes pressure. You know, like, I can't tell you how many, when I walk through the mall or at these festivals, and I see so many girls with half black, half red hair, you know, like wearing a New Year's Day tee or wearing a Motionless White tee or whatever, you know, it's like, that pressure has got to be crazy, right?
It is crazy. And it's like, I feel like I can maybe, I can't speak for Kurt Cobain, obviously, but I feel like maybe I can relate to the context of it, where I do want success so I can take care of my loved ones and feed myself and have, like, healthcare. But I mean, if you could have that without the fame, I'm sure everybody would want that.
Yeah, well, of course.
In my opinion.
That's the dream.
It's weird. We wouldn't have an Instagram if we didn't want attention.
True.
You know what I mean?
I call it the necessary evil, because I would not have it if I wasn't in a band.
Well, for some people, like, it is for networking, but there's a lot of people, like, it's for attention. Yeah. I mean, that's what fame is. Fame is the ultimate attention. Which, I mean, I've never gotten to that point of, like, you know, when you're Kurt Cobain, where you can't walk anywhere and breathe without someone fucking jumping down your throat. So I couldn't say, like, hey, yes, this. But at our level, I would say, you know, the attention feels good. It feels nice when you're out and someone notices you. It feels like you're making an impact in the world.
Yeah.
People are noticing you. The things that you're doing are important. It's amazing. Like, I think it feels great. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's you know, but the only time I've ever been treated like I was, and it was a little overwhelming, is when we went to Mexico and people were trying to rip your piercings out of your face.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, it's really strange. But so, I mean, I'm just saying, there's, I don't know how I feel about that, because that's always the level, that's always the thing that comes up in Nirvana.
Yeah. Well,
and Kurt. It's like,
well, Harbinger, you know, makes a good point and says, I think he didn't want to be bigger than his music. Which I think is,
yeah, I,
that's
fair.
Is like on par for, yeah, like, Cobain.
Shout. Harbinger. Okay. Good shout.
Yeah.
But, all right, could continue. Sorry. I don't want to ramble.
Yeah, go ahead, Ash.
Oh, okay. So we're going to skip to how Kurt Cobain met Courtney Love. Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain formally met in a nightclub in Portland, Seattle on January 12th, 1990. But Love had apparently developed a crush on the Nirvana frontman after seeing him perform at a gig the year before. Cobain appeared to dismiss Love's advances at first, commenting, "I was determined to be a bachelor for a few months. I knew I liked Courtney so much right away that it was really hard to struggle, or it was a really hard struggle to stay away from her for so many months." Not long after making things official, Courtney Love married Nirvana's Kurt Cobain on Waikiki Beach, Hawaii on February 24th, 1992. Kurt famously wore his pajamas to the wedding ceremony, while Love donned a white lace and satin gown.
So I want to say, like, I feel like it's true love off the bat.
Everyone's silent.
You want to talk about relationships? Let's talk.
Oh, man.
This is the part where I get triggered from this story, because, I mean, it does trigger me. It's when you're a musician and there's another musician, there is, it might might feel like love at first, but it's a explosive, tumultuous, very clashing
love
thing.
Love is terrifying.
Yes.
And it will do whatever it wants to. Your body has, your mind, your body, and your heart has no, it just goes. Yeah.
It's fucked up. So it's fucked up.
It's fucked up. Man.
It can be fucked up. I mean, but I think love's good. Beautiful love's way good too. Also, too, though.
Not a bad, but, no, I think love is amazing, yeah. And I think it's one of those things that keep you motivated and keep you going, and it's great. So, yes, I think they were in love. I mean, she's a psychopath, and he's a psychopath. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely sounded like together. Crazy kids.
He showed up in pajamas to his wedding.
That's how amazing. If I ever got married, which I never would, if I
Bobby,
did.
I've never seen you in a suit.
Never say never,
Bobby.
My best friend, one of my best friends is getting married in like 2 weeks, and he's like, you're coming to the wedding. And I was like, fuck no.
Just wear pajamas.
No, I would never show up to my own wedding.
Or PJs.
Why not?
Because I don't want to get married ever.
Oh, it's so fun. I love going to weddings. They're so fun.
God.
Yeah.
No, oh my gosh.
If I get married, I'm wearing a Kurt Cobain t-shirt.
There we go. We moved to an if you get married, not a never.
There we go.
Never say never.
I am going to have a pop. Harbinger said Bobby is going to have a pop-up if he gets married. I'm going to sell merch at my... wedding and funeral.
Hey, I'm right there with you. How can I make money here?
When I die, when I'm laying here, I want merch all behind me.
Josh, I bet you would have the coolest wedding. I better be invited.
Yeah, fair.
All right, on track. We got to stay on track here.
Sorry.
Jake, just come on. You're supposed to keep us on the rails.
Sorry, we only have 5 hours.
Okay. Yeah, we're perfectly fine. I like seeing what the chat thinks about it. Like seeing, like, all that. It's, like, it's all good stuff, and I want to keep
it. Well, it's such a public thing, Jake, that you know that, like, these little quips are just. I love this. I love the way this is going.
This is feeling good. Chat, are we liking
chat,
it?
Are we
I'm feeling less sad.
Yeah, keep commenting in the chat because this is my first time looking at it. And it's really fun. It's
cool, yeah, right? we want you to be involved too, and we want to read off some of your theories as we move along. Obviously, we're just getting started, and
don't jump ahead, guys.
Yeah, let's stay on track. Let's keep the barriers up and stay focused to everything we're addressing in the present time, and we'll get to everything eventually. And then if we don't, we'll come to you for you guys in the chat if we missed anything that you want to bring up.
I gotta be honest right now, Jake. We're talking about love, and I'm sick to my stomach.
Why?
I'm going through a breakup.
You love
I'm sick to my stomach right now. I'm going through a breakup.
Hey, Bobby, you know
I'm
who
sick.
Else had
a
stomach? You know you're who not else going through a breakup. Problems.
Yeah, I'm Kurt sick Cobain. To my stomach. No. I'm sick to my stomach.
So you have a lot more. You have a lot in common with Kurt Cobain.
I got a lot.
Ash is like a mom. She's like, I have Pepto Bismol in my purse. Hold on.
No, I'm not really sick to my stomach. I'm just sick in the fucking head. But I do have a lot. I do have a lot to relate to Kurt Cobain. But all right, let's focus. I'm sick to my stomach. Let's do it.
All right, chat. All right. So disclaimer: this is this might be triggering for some people as we get into.
I'm triggered.
I'm super triggered already.
Sick. Yeah, all right.
into the death of Kurt Cobain.
All right.
Okay. I didn't hear the music.
Jake,
before.
The music really?
No, I love it. No, keep it. Okay.
All right.
Marriage? Is this a marriage?
No.
Music?
Like,
you
just
are,
go.
All right.
Cobain's death. I shouldn't be laughing. It's the music. I'm sorry. Okay. In March 1994, Cobain overdosed on a combination of champagne and you got to. Okay. How do you say that?
Rohypnol.
Yeah.
Rohypnol. Sorry, I don't do the drugs.
It's like a roofie.
A sedative drug, and he subsequently entered an intervention and underwent a detox program. The staff at the detox facility were unaware of Cobain's depression and suicidal tendencies, nor did they believe he was in a negative state of mind. They spent days talking with him about his problems, drug use, and happily playing with his daughter, Frances. By the end of March, Cobain escaped from rehab by jumping the wall of the establishment. On April 8, 1994, Cobain was found dead at his home in Seattle at the age of 27. Police concluded he had died on April 5th from a self-inflicted shotgun wound to the head.
Well,
so,
there's the death.
Keep your theories to yourself.
Keep your theories to yourself.
The suicide letter.
Which we're going to get to, chat. Don't you worry.
It hits so different. Like, there's so much shit in here. Like, I was joking with Balls earlier. Like, I was like, because I feel all this shit. Like, I really fucking feel this shit. Aww. And I can feel what he's going through. So, no, I don't need to have an intervention or anything.
I'm just saying.
But no, I mean, it's just, he's just vulnerable. You know, we talk about it all the time. And this note, it hits so different because the shit he says, like, about his daughter and how he feels about certain things. God, I don't know. Should we dive down at Jake or
are we ready?
So obviously, chat, we're gonna dive into everything that was left behind, the evidence behind it, of where they found them, how they found them, all that good stuff. But chat, a lot of people may have seen the note. A lot of you may have not. Now, here's my thing. You know, I am going to let Ash read it because it is, you know, the actual note, it is hard to read, but, you know, she'll transcribe it for us. But and then I want to talk about the note after and how it leads into everything else with the case. So whenever you're ready, Ash.
I'm going to open up by saying there's a lot of theories about this note. We're not going to talk about them until later. Okay, we're just going to get started and we'll explain it afterwards. All right, Kurt Cobain's alleged suicide note. To Boda, speaking from the tongue of an experienced simpleton who obviously would rather be an emasculated infantile complainee, this note should be pretty easy to understand. All the warnings from the punk rock 101 courses over the years, since my first introduction, the, shall we say, ethics involved with independence and the embarrassment of your community has proven to be very true. I haven't felt the excitement of listening to as well as creating music along with reading and writing for too many years now. I feel guilty beyond words about these things. For example, when we're backstage and the lights go out and the manic roar of the crowds begins, it doesn't affect me the way in which it did for Freddie Mercury, who seemed to love, relish in the love and adoration from the crowd, which is something I totally admire and envy. The fact is, I can't fool you, any one of you. It simply isn't fair to you or me. The worst crime I can think of would be to rip people off by faking it and pretending as if I'm having 100% fun. Sometimes I feel as if I should have a punch-in time clock before I walk on stage. I tried everything within my power to appreciate it, and I do, God believe me, I do, but it's not enough. I appreciate the fact that I and we have affected and entertained a lot of people. I must be one of those narcissists who only appreciate things when they're gone. I'm too sensitive. I need to be slightly numb in order to regain the enthusiasms I once had as a child. On our last three tours, I've had a much better appreciation for all the people I've known personally and as fans of our music, but I still can't get over the frustration, the guilt, and empathy I have for everyone. There's good in all of us, and I think I simply love people too much, so much that it makes me feel too fucking sad. The sad, little, sensitive, unappreciative Pisces. Jesus, man, why don't you just enjoy it? I don't know. I have a goddess of a wife.
Mm. Keep going. Mm-hmm.
Who sweats ambition and empathy.
Mm-hmm. This line right here is where it hits, right? Go ahead.
And a daughter who reminds me too much of what I used to be. Full of love and joy, kissing every person she meets because everyone is good and will do her no harm. And that terrifies me to the point to where I can barely function. I can't stand the thought of Francis becoming the miserable, self-destructive death rocker that I've become. I have it good, very good. And I'm grateful, but since the age of 7, I've become hateful towards all humans in general. Only because it seems easy for people to get along that have empathy. Only because I love and feel sorry for people too much, I guess. Thank you all from the pit of my burning, nauseous stomach for your letters and concern during the past years. I'm too much of an erratic, moody baby. I don't have the passion anymore, and so remember, it's better to burn out than to fade away. Peace, love, empathy, Kurt Cobain. Francis and Courtney, I'll be at your altar. Please keep going, Courtney, for Frances, for her life, which will be so much happier without me. I love you. I love you.
Mm. I just got chills.
It is chilling.
Whew,
it is,
it's
yeah.
It's heavy.
That's a lot.
There's a lot
to pick apart in that, and I think that's... It's a lot.
So there's a few things I want to bring up. One, I mean, I don't know this because I didn't look into it too much. If the letter... is actually his handwriting, if they had any other samples of his handwriting, right? That's an obvious thing.
It's his handwriting. Dude.
Okay, right. And the other thing is, obviously, you know, Ash previously said that they're, I mean, that they're, I don't know actually if we got into it yet, but their marriage, obviously, there's word that it was rocky, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was trying to take her out of the will, and they were filing for a divorce. Like, you're gonna call your wife a goddess?
Exactly.
In the middle of a
yeah.
But if to be honest, if
that's
I were if
me.
I were writing, yeah, honestly, same. If you were writing a passionate, heartfelt, this is the last thing someone's gonna hear from me. You're gonna fucking and he's a poet and a songwriter, and that's what came out of his heart, you know, the last days, the last seconds or minutes of him living, and that's what he's going to write. I was a little skeptic, but like, where is your head on both? I don't know, because I'm so, because I understand how sad people can get, and then also with drugs involved, I understand. I've been around drugs my entire life, but then, you know, you talk about how if you listen to all the stuff that she's talked about, that's on tape of her talking to that detective.
It doesn't sound
good. You're
just
like, fuck. It doesn't
sound
good.
Doesn't look good for her when you listen to those tapes.
No.
So yeah. It is a fact, it's not hearsay, that the entertainment lawyer that was both the lawyer to Courtney and Kurt got calls from both of them after this Rome, either right before the Rome incident
where
or right after.
Where the drug overdose happened in Rome?
Yeah. Yeah. So Courtney called and said that Kurt said he wanted to divorce her and that she wanted the meanest, nastiest divorce lawyer the entertainment lawyer could find. And then Kurt called and said, I want Courtney taken out of my will. So, yeah, they definitely were not in loving good terms at that time.
So Gotham Jenny says, see, I think he did write that part, and he did mean that, because, I mean, he loved her at one point.
Yep.
And to have a child with her, mm-hmm. he loves her. He loves with all his heart. Why would you want to say terrible yep. things about the mother of your child?
I got to jump in on that, Gotham Jenny, because I agree. That's how I feel, right? Having a daughter, and I'm not with the mother of my child, I got so much love for her. I got so much respect for her. You know, so like I feel like this letter to me, you know, for someone, Kurt is obviously a really deep person, like clearly mm-hmm. With his lyrics and his music and his imagery and everything he's done. This letter's fucking deep. Like when you break this letter down, this letter's fucking deep, man. Like when you feel shit, like this fucking suicide letter fucking speaks to me, you know, like I could feel it. Like to me, this is my opinion. I feel the fucking hurt. I feel the pain. I think his last words, Balls, like, obviously he's not in the right spot if this is how he's, you know, he's talking suicide, right? He's not mm-hmm. mentally, you know, all there. I do think, like, you would say those words about her, you know, no matter what. Because you're at the end. You're at the end of the fucking thing. And, like,
Know better than me, and I don't have a child another person that I'm not with.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, when you have a child with someone, no matter, you just gotta let your ego fucking go, you know, right? If you're separated, yeah. you gotta that let the fucking sense. Ego go, because your ego gets hurt, right? In the whole process.
So Fairy Winkle, I'll touch your base in a second. Go ahead, Bobby.
No, I was just saying, yeah, like if that was my last words to go out and fucking, you know, Jordan is my daughter and you know, I love her more than anything. And clearly, that brightens up my whole world.
And the lady
fucking, this is the woman who gave me her, like. I'm not gonna shit on her in my fucking suicide letter.
That's a good
like,
point.
There's no way you would do that, you know.
If it is actually a suicide letter.
Yeah, if it is, what's that?
I just feel like he. I feel like if I had a child, I would have talked about the child first. That would have been first and foremost. And it she didn't come in until three quarters in the letter. But I mean, that's just. You know, me picking apart how I would.
Let's
think.
Talk yeah, about that know. Really quick. So there's some theories out there.
No, good. You want to go real quick.
So Fairy Winkle, you had a question. Is like, what did she have to gain by potentially murdering Kurt? If they got a divorce and he took her out of the will, it was basically she still would have gotten a settlement for, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. But if Kurt died before she took her out of the will and she took control of this estate, which is worth, you know, potentially billions of dollars.
So money.
It was hundreds of thousands. It was money driven and fame driven to you know, Courtney Love, you know, the Kinder whore herself, you know?
Yeah.
Because some of those tapes, I didn't listen to all the tapes because apparently there was a lot of tapes, but she had hired a private investigator to, when he went missing.
Tom
something. Tom, hold on, I have it right here.
Tom Grant.
Tom Grant. And because she had filed a missing person, she hired this investigator to find him after he had jumped the fence at this rehab facility. Mm-hmm. And in these tapes, she says things like, we can spin it, like he was going to leave me, and it would look really good for me, and it would get the public sympathy, and I have an album coming out, it'll help my album sales. Like, she sounds shitty on those tapes.
Yeah, because she was like, well, at least, you know, my album sales will be good. She said that at one point where he was like missing,
which is crazy.
And it was like terrifying. She was talking about her fame and her success.
Yeah, but you're also talking about a narcissist as well. So like,
Yeah.
You got to think.
Yeah.
You're not dealing with a sane fucking person, right?
Yeah.
She's not sane, clearly.
I think we can all agree she's not sane, you know, whether she's guilty or involved or not, she's not a sane human being.
And just being an active user, you know what I mean? Like, no one speaks in the mind space.
We're talking
about
a situation where people are high on drugs, there's fame, there's money, and there's alcohol involved. Like,
It's the 90s.
And it's the 90s. No one's going to fucking think clear, you know?
What a time to be alive.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. So we're going to go into, was it suicide? Was it murder? So we're going to...
This is where we get into it, chat. So obviously, we want to know what you think as we go through
this. We'll take some callers in a little bit, too?
In like about 40 minutes, we'll start taking some callers and going through what you guys think of this, and then of course the chat, and we have some other things that we want to show as well. Obviously, we have possible motives, alibis, you know, questioning the suicide note, any accomplices, how the police department completely mishandled the case.
That's a big one for me.
Yeah. Inconsistencies in the case, and then obviously some 3D layouts of the home, and the interview with the electrician that found Kurt, and all that good stuff.
All right.
So. Let's get into the basic.
I think still plays too.
Was it suicide?
This episode's great. This is going good.
Yeah,
I'm having fun.
Good.
Chat,
are you having a good time?
I'm having a good time.
Glad you're having a good day.
It's making me think different. You know what I mean? It's making me feel a certain way, and I like that shit. And now I'm like, I'm in a good spot. No, it's good. I like
good.
It. All right.
So we're gonna dive into, was it suicide? And we're gonna go through all the points that lead to yes, it was a suicide. So first off, we have Courtney would attest that the overdose before Kurt's death was his first suicide attempt. Now, do I give my thoughts about this or do I wait?
I give it after all of it.
Okay. Courtney attested that the overdose before Kurt's death that happened in Rome was a suicide attempt. He was prone to alcoholism, suffered from depression, and regularly used drugs and inhalants. Cobain had two uncles who killed themselves using guns. I really want to chime in, but I'm going to wait.
It's hard. Okay. It's hard.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
Okay. Cobain's cousin, Beverly, a nurse, said that the family had a history of suicide and that Cobain had been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and bipolar disorder. Cobain said that his stomach pain had been so severe during Nirvana's 1991 European tour that he had become suicidal and that taking heroin was the only thing that's saving me from shooting myself right now. In Charles Cross's biography, Heavier Than Heaven, Nirvana bassist Chris Novoselic, is quoted on seeing Cobain in the days before his intervention. He was really quiet. He was just estranged from all of his relationships. He wasn't connecting with anybody. Chris offered to buy dinner for Cobain resulted in unintentionally driving him to score heroin. His dealer was right there. He wanted to get fucked up into oblivion. He wanted to die, and that's what he wanted to do. Cobain did not want the gun purchased in his name as police had seized several of his firearms in the past year, so he got his friend to purchase it for him.
There you go.
So...
Well, what was on that first line, Ash? And let's dive into that.
Okay, so Courtney would attest that the overdose before Kurt's death was his first suicide attempt, but the doctor from Rome had said that he had told them it was a suicide, and they had both agreed... he had told them that it was an accident, and that they'd all agreed it was an accident, and they had announced it was an accident because it was on MTV News. Later on, after Kurt's suicide, it was only then that Courtney said publicly that was his first suicide attempt and that he had taken 60 pills, but Tom Grant reached out to the doctor and said there was definitely not 60 pills worth of drugs in his system.
Nowhere near.
Yeah.
Did they ever say how many pills it was, though?
It was just champagne and Rohypnol, apparently.
Yeah, they couldn't pinpoint it because of the coagulation of the acids in the stomach. But yeah, she didn't use it as a platform until all this stuff came to light.
And the story
Everyone
changed.
Was accident. But was that to cover up for like the media? Do you think?
I think so, personally. But
here's
it doesn't necessarily mean she was part of the murder. She could have just
thank
been
you,
spinning
Elshick,
it
for the
for...
nice words.
She could have just been spinning it for publicity because it really seemed like that's how she viewed the whole thing.
Yeah, I think obviously we don't know Kurt Cobain, but just like reading about him and knowing, I feel like he would have been forthcoming about that if it wasn't attempted at first.
That's a good point.
Right? I think he would have been, because he's an emotional guy, right? And I feel like he's a type that also wears his emotion on his sleeve.
But he's also the kind of guy that might not want that attention, you know, because he didn't want the fame. He didn't want that shit.
That's
so
true.
MTV News is going to come out. Kurt Cobain tried to kill himself. He don't want that. So he's going to be like, oh, man, I got the cold and I took pills and I drank and God, I shouldn't have did that. And I'm exhausted from tour. That's an easy story to spin, you know, because everyone's taking a fucking painkiller and had a drink at some point. Like,
we know that the media is. Did you sneeze or?
I held in a sneeze. Yeah, I held it. I held in a sneeze.
But I mean, we all know how, you know, doing other cases that we've done in these sessions, how leading the media is. So I mean, it could be a whole situation where they're being intelligent because, you know, they talk when Tom Graham, or is it Graham or Grant?
Tom Graham.
Right. So when he first walked to Courtney's door, she opened it. She said, "If you fucking leak this to the media, I'm gonna fucking sue your ass off." So like right there was a whole situation where she's like, "They're sick of the media spinning shit." And so
the media fucking sucks. Let's just be honest. It fucking sucks ass, dude.
Mega Man, I want you to call in later. Mega Man did a whole report on this before and has a theory. But we want you to call and save that for the end.
I'm excited to talk. Ooh, yeah. I'm excited to talk.
Yes.
But all right, line two, Ash.
We're still diving down.
Okay.
We're still diving down. Okay.
Yeah, we're still in.
Because this is a big one. We need to break down whether it's yes or no.
Okay, so the second point was that he suffered from alcoholism, suffered from depression. I feel like a lot of musicians and artists do. I don't know. To me, how much that stands out, and regularly use drugs. But Courtney had said that Cobain had the Cobain curse, which is he had two uncles or three family members that had killed themselves using guns, which was proven to be false.
Yeah. The one guy fell down the stairs, and another guy, his gun fell out of his pocket
and accidentally shot himself.
So those were,
but again,
obviously
could just be spinning for publicity.
But again,
no.
But again, to Ash's point, yes. And you're dealing with people that are on fucking heroin, drinking drugs, and fame and money is involved. So just
can't trust them.
Just put all that in mind as you're going through this. Go ahead.
Moving on. So Cobain's cousin, Beverly, a nurse, said that the family had a history of suicide and that Cobain had been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and bipolar disorder.
So for that, I mean, obviously, like, once again, the suicide, I'm not sure about if his whole family had a history of that. But yeah, to that point, I mean, those are things people struggle with. But yeah.
Okay, so moving on. Cobain said that his stomach pain had been so severe that taking heroin was the only thing saving him from shooting himself. Now, look, I've said things about pain I've had where I'm like, oh, my God, it hurts so bad, I'm going to kill myself. You know, like, you say things in turn that you may not mean.
That's true.
But there was an interview with Kurt Cobain where he's smiling and he's jolly, and they're asking about the stomach pain, and he says, the doctors finally prescribed me something that worked, and he had no stomach pain at all. So I don't see that as a motive for suicide.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, I don't see that. That's not.
We're
throwing it away.
I'm gonna throw that one away.
Yeah. No one
Everything
cares.
Else is great, but that one, throw it in the trash.
So the next one, I'm gonna paraphrase. A lot of his friends were interviewed and said they didn't believe he was suicidal whatsoever. But again, I don't feel like you always know when someone's suicidal. So
never.
That's not a good
so
point.
So that's a big one to me, to be on Bobby's side with, like, it doesn't prove anything because only your very, 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 very close friends know how you're actually feeling.
And they don't even
and ever
know.
Be outside.
And they don't even know.
And they barely they don't and they know the tip of the they yeah. know the tip of the totally. Iceberg and there's yeah. so much deeper
totally.
Than what's actually in there.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be vulnerable. You don't want to show weakness. You don't want to show vulnerability to the people that are around you. So I think that's a horrible way because, you know, that's, again, you're what you're posting on Instagram today is you smiling. And as soon as you post that picture, you're right back to frowning because you
never know what someone's going through.
Honestly, dude, I'm so happy you brought that up because I actually just recently, I still have my Instagram, but I deleted all my photos.
I saw that.
I don't fucking check it. I don't go on it. And,
good for you.
And lately in the 666 Club here, I've been doing, just been doing normal Blackcraft podcast. And I've just been being very vulnerable about what I'm going through to listeners. Because I'm like, if you look at me on paper, you look at my life on Instagram, it looks like I got this perfect fucking life. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you don't really know what I'm dealing with or going through. Like Balls, like, to your point, I'm just a normal fucking human person. You know what I'm saying? That, like, puts his pants on one leg at a time. Like, put one leg through, one leg through. But, like, real shit. Like, I was just being so vulnerable and being so open about it. I don't know, man. It's just this thing is.
See, I have a hard time with that. I've been wanting to be more vulnerable, so and healthy. I can't.
You have to be.
I have a really hard time opening up.
You have to be. Like,
I've been burnt. I've been burnt too many times.
So have I. But here's the thing: to get to those next levels,
you're thinking of other people. You got to think about yourself, Bobby. What you say all the time, man, you got to love.
Listen, real shit. Yourself. I mean, we'll dive down it real quick here, but I'm not gonna get off subject. But to be vulnerable is the coolest thing in the world, right? Because yeah. I can't believe how many people, since I've opened up about what I'm going through with my separate, like not divorce, it feels like a fucking divorce, but since I broke up with my ex, like how, what I'm doing to get better at it and why, like normally when you go through a breakup, you distract yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like you just want to do all this different shit.
Yeah.
I actually, this time, I just felt all the pain and I'm still feeling it and going through it. And I had this weird, crazy breakthrough and I'm like, holy shit. Like she was put here. This relationship, I wish her the best and wish her the well. It's not no hard feelings, but I learned so much about myself. And like when I was talking to my therapist is crazy hot though. But she
wait,
said,
I was like Tony.
No, different one. This okay. chick's crazy hot. But
I mean, Tony's beautiful.
I'm just playing. But she said, "You don't love yourself," and I was like, "Holy fucking shit!" Like it like hit me, you know. And I was like, "Damn, dude!" Like she's like, "The moment if you don't have self love and you're not vulnerable and you don't have those things." Everything around you is going to suffer. And yeah. I kind of started looking at like some of my business deals that I was doing or just some of my relationships, all these different things. And I'm like, damn, like, yeah, I don't really love myself. And then I just started working on those
Bobby,
things.
No,
it's not bad. It's not sad shit. It's like, I challenge people to like actually sit back and fucking be like, do you love yourself? Do you really deep down fucking love yourself? Cause like people don't, you know?
I know, but I think that's really healthy. I think that's really great for you.
Being vulnerable is so good. And how many people reached out to me about in the DMs on Discord talking to me about like, dude, holy fuck, your vulnerability. Like that, like I thought your life was just perfect. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
And I'm like, fuck no, it's a fucking train wreck. But I'm like keeping it, I'm not a train wreck. Like I'm doing things to help, but yeah, I don't know, man. Just I don't even know where the fuck we got to this topic. But
no, I'm glad you're opening
ADHD,
up. I like it. I'm here for it. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Well, I mean, the same that we're talking about, this is the case we're talking about. Yeah. I mean, it's suicide. Yeah. I mean, this is a huge, honestly, it's a huge problem in the world. And I think this is, that's, and what happened is, honestly, I hate that the media made this such a prolific thing because there was a lot of copycat suicides afterwards of Nirvana and Kurt Cobain fans that were like, all right, if he can't do this, if he can't cut it, I want to be gone too.
Right.
So it's opening up and being, truly loving yourself and figuring out how to love yourself is important. And I think that does deal with this case in a very massive way, whether it's Courtney or Kurt.
Yeah, I agree. And Doug Weston said something really crucial here in the chat. Drugs and depression was not treated the same in the 90s as of today.
Oh,
that's a big thing to point out also. You know what I mean?
Like, that's what I meant by it was the 90s.
Right.
Like it's not, I feel like there wasn't. Do you remember that movie
Heathers?
There wasn't
mental health awareness
course,
at all.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, remember
and it kind
of
like
yeah.
it kind of glorified teen suicide in a way, and I feel like that was really indicative of the 90s outlook on it.
Yeah, well, 90s felt like
fair.
90s was sex, drugs, rock and roll. Like you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it was totally like
it
was like grunge. It was like crazy shit. Like if you weren't on drugs,
being
you
sad.
Kind of weren't cool.
Yeah, it was
like,
kind of cool to be sad and kind of like you didn't care, like being like not caring about yourself or your life or it just was kind of accepted and trendy.
I agree.
Not cool. Love yourself. Love your life.
I'm
That's cool,
self-love.
Kids.
Self-love.
Self-love is cool, kids.
All right. Self-love.
All right. What's the next line? What's the next line on that? Or Jake, you have something.
We should go down to why it's no.
No. So, chat, we're gonna briefly touch on yes or no on the suicide. Then we're going to go down through the second notes, and then the rest we'll have additional information, and then we'll really get into you guys. So, now we go down to was it suicide? If you think it was no, the things that would support that.
Okay. Let's see. Tom Grant, a private investigator hired by Love, believes he was murdered. Grant says the events surrounding Cobain's death to be filled with lies, contradictions in logic, and countless inconsistencies. Okay, so we'll dive into that in a minute.
Yeah.
The Mentors bandleader, Eldon, did you say Elduce or Elduce? Yeah.
Elduce, maybe?
Okay.
Elduce.
Elduce.
Hokey. Hokey. I fucked this all up. I'm sorry. Claimed that Love had offered him $50,000 to kill Cobain. We'll come back to that. Love's father, Hank Harrison, and rock band Sonic Youth's Kim Gordon have expressed their doubts about his death. Kurt died in a very harsh way, Gordon told Uncut Magazine in 2005. It wasn't just an OD. He actually killed himself violently. It was so aggressive, and he wasn't an aggressive person. He was a smart person and had an interesting intellect. So, and then there's a second note. So can they all see that right now?
Yep.
Okay, so we're gonna read the note. Who are they saying wrote this note?
I'm not entirely sure. I believe it is this one is from Courtney.
Okay.
Jenny, can you confirm? Shout out to Gotham Jenny.
Well, it sounds like it's this is like your vows or some shit.
Yeah.
Okay, from the Urban Resort in San Francisco. So they had their vows in Waikiki, so not vows, but yeah, it does sound like that.
Yeah, or something like that. I don't know anything about this, so if anyone knows what I don't know.
I'd be kind of not happy if these were my vows, so here we go.
I would be kind of stoked.
What? Well, you know what? Actually, I'm looking at it wrong. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong.
I'm just kidding.
Do you, Kurt Cobain, take Courtney and Michelle Love to be your lawful shredded wife, even when she's a bitch with zits and siphoning all your money for doping and whoring? Will you promise to fuck her at least once a week? Okay.
This was their vows.
I mean, oh my God.
So,
if I was to get married, that'd be my
romance
vows.
Ain't dead. Romance
Jake,
isn't dead.
Jake, romance
guys.
Isn't dead.
It turns out for that. But Gotham Jenny says it's controversial who wrote it.
Okay.
So supposedly it's Kurt who wrote it, but a writing specialist said it's not his handwriting
at all.
It looks
like his handwriting. It looks
it
like
matches
chick's.
More to Courtney yeah. trying to mimic his handwriting. That's my take on it. You guys saw it on screen. I'll put it on your screen one more time.
How do you know chick handwriting?
Are you kidding?
I mean,
I don't know.
The letters I get,
we're gonna be
hate even, mail I get from
FBI
from
gets paid a lot of money to analyze his handwriting.
All right, the M on Michelle, that's a chick handwriting.
This S is a chick.
That's a chick.
This is a chick.
That's a chick.
That's a chick. Yeah.
That's a chick.
That's you know, not to be a stereotype.
And then we compare it to this one.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a lefty's handwriting right there.
Yeah, that's messy.
That's a lefty.
Because it's slanted.
That's a lefty.
That's
Jake.
That's a mess.
Yeah.
That's a lefty.
It's right. slanted, yeah. That's
and
a lefty.
And Kurt is lefty, by the way.
So yeah. I want to talk about this note,
hey,
by the way, because we moved
is
on.
That a pen?
We moved on and we didn't touch on this. There's series that the first half of the note was actually written by Kurt, and it was maybe like an insert from a journal or a notebook filled with lyrics, and that the person who maybe wanted to stage a suicide had looked through, found the note that looked most like a suicide, or maybe it was just him getting his thoughts out, as in, like, I feel like a faker, I'm unhappy with the fame. So I don't know why you would go so in-depth into that for a suicide note and then only touch a little bit on your family. So the theory is that whoever had allegedly set up this suicide crime scene picked this note, and the first half, or the first three quarters, is him, and they added the bottom to make it look like a suicide note. Now, do you think there's any validity to that at all? Like, how do you feel about that?
I do. I think so because of he's a poet. You know what I mean? To be literally the most generic out of a letter, and it's by like one of the biggest poets of our generation.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? So that's the only thing that rubs me a little bit the wrong way. So I kind of understand where people are coming from with that.
Yeah. Ash, you wanted to touch on this first note again real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, so the theory again was the first three quarters were like an excerpt from... And who's Boda? Do we know? Can someone tell me who Boda is, what that's supposed to mean? That the first three quarters of the note is just an excerpt from a journal, which, you know, good Lord, if someone looked through my lyric journals or my lyric writing or my tour journals, I'm sure there's some dark shit in there that if someone wanted to rip out and add like something that sounded suicide-y at the bottom would work.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, as a lyricist. So it is a little suspicious to me because the bottom is written so much differently.
Yeah. So Boda is Cobain's childhood imaginary friend.
Yeah. Why would you put that in a suicide note?
All right. So I you know what's really funny is when I was in high school, well, middle school, I started to be in a band, and I found this notebook when I was freshman in high school.
Wow.
I actually keep it on my desk just as like a it's funny. and I started writing lyrics because I wanted to be in a band.
Cute.
And you can, so here's the first, and as this letter goes, the time when it matters before it ended and after it all started, metaphors don't mean anything when you're writing a song all about the feelings and don't tell me that I'm wrong, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to keep reading because I was a child.
Cute.
But it's true. You can take those things and finish that with, I love my life. I love my kids. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure he has thousands and thousands of these written mm-hmm. for songs.
Yeah. Because it does look, the bottom does look like, I guess the theory could be is that he was becoming more frantic as he was getting towards the end of the note. Could be, maybe, for the difference in handwriting and the difference in how it's written, more spaced and bigger, I guess. But, I mean, also, if they were, in fact, about to go through a divorce that he knew was going to be nasty, you know, I've written some really depressing shit when I've gone through some breakups. I mean, just like, I don't even want to be here anymore. I don't see the point, you know, and stuff that's not meant for the world to see because it sounds so bad. But it's like you're just getting it out.
Right.
So I don't know.
I got my theories, man. I don't want to jump down it.
We'll just be open-minded.
Well, let's keep going down. It's not a suicide with the possible motives that would be of it not being.
You want us to break down those three?
Yeah.
Okay, so possible motives for it to be a suicide?
No.
No,
oh,
we're
to
going
be murder.
On,
okay.
Yeah.
So everyone in Kurt and Courtney's circle knew that Kurt was very unhappy with their marriage and intended to divorce her. That's true. If he did that, she stood to inherit half of his possessions at best. With him dead, she got everything, including the rights to his music, name, image, which kept her very well taken care of for the rest of her life, most likely. Kurt Cobain has recently become the highest grossing dead musician in history, surpassing Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, and John Lennon. Wow.
That's fucking nuts. Is that true? Is that actually a fact?
The paper says it, so it's gotta be.
There's no way. There ain't no fucking way.
I bet you it is because he doesn't only span into our generation, but the generation above us and the generation now below us as well, because his music spans across everything.
That's true.
Everything.
Because Elvis kind of doesn't. You're right.
That's true.
No.
That's true.
Elvis
Jackson kind of doesn't anymore.
Yeah, you're kind of right.
Yeah.
Like Elvis probably stopped above us.
Fuck.
And then people, I mean, obviously there's our generation still, like, enjoy Elvis, but when's the last time you put on an Elvis song? You
know or what
I
mean? John
literally,
Lennon.
Literally today.
Or John.
Are you excited literally? For the Elvis movie?
I just said I can't wait to see it today.
I love Baz Luhrmann.
It comes out tonight?
I don't know.
It comes
know.
Out the 24th.
What?
Friday.
Anyways.
Sorry.
Anyways.
Yes, I love Baz
Luhrmann. Think about it. Nirvana merch is everywhere.
ADHD.
Right?
Yeah.
But anyways, so... Okay. So there are your two things. We'll get into more and more as we go. But the alibis that go along with Courtney doing it. Well, I mean, she is obviously has alibis.
So wait, we're breaking down that Courtney killed him, or we're breaking down he killed
the
himself?
Alibi.
The alibis so that he would kill, that it would say that he killed himself.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So Rosemary Carroll, Courtney Love's own attorney and godmother to her and Kurt's daughter, Frances Bean, and entertainment lawyer for Kurt and Courtney, believes that Courtney was involved in a conspiracy to murder Kurt. Courtney had accidentally left her handbag at Carol's house, and after Kurt's death, she decided to look inside. She found two pieces of paper. One was a note Courtney wrote to herself that read, "Get arrested." In the days prior to Kurt's death, she was indeed arrested for possession of narcotics. However, she allegedly designed it as such that she only had narcotic paraphernalia and no actual drugs. So she was released from jail a couple days later. That was supposedly her designed alibi. However, Kurt's body had not yet been discovered, at which point she hired private investigator Tom Grant to locate him. More on this investigation later. Then called an electric company to install an alarm system on the greenhouse, the room in which Kurt died, as soon as possible. This looks staged as fuck. The electrician who got the job was the one who discovered Kurt's body. Many believe this was her new alibi she manufactured. I would love to get in on this.
Wait, where did we get these facts from on the alibi? Fucking soaked in bleach, or... No, really.
There are
like, did we go to fucking Fox News or did we go to fucking CNN? Where are we at here?
There's various sources.
Like, from
the mouths of the entertainment lawyers, from the mouths of the electrician, from the mouths of
Bobby's
the private investigator,
not liking this right now.
From the mouths of the
Bobby
department.
Is not liking this right now.
I need to know where these facts came from.
Everyone's
saying multiple sources, but what are the sources?
The entertainment lawyer, that's a big one. Yeah. She knew the inside workings and
was this on Soaked
in
Bleach?
It is on Soaked in Bleach,
of course it fucking is. Okay.
I didn't watch that one.
Wait, do we not like that documentary?
We love it.
I hate it.
Really?
But also, there's plenty of biographies.
Who's getting heated in here?
It's hot.
We're getting hot.
And Bleach.
And hold on. Mm. And the private investigator also published his own.
Of course he did. I would do the same thing.
I don't
want to
trust anything
he
says.
$1 million. But Tom,
he could be writing it for the money.
Fuck Tom Graham.
He could be writing it for the press, the money.
But he was very smart where he taped everything. Everything. He takes absolutely everything. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff isn't just hearsay. It's fact. And I think it's very true.
I think he did have the right to want to share it.
And there's a lot of things that point to... Because I'm going to be completely honest. Right, you know, we're an hour and 10 minutes in.
What?
When I first... honestly,
it's crazy. Wow, that went quite fast.
But when I first started, I always thought he... In my head, he killed
himself. Wait, we're not going there yet, Balls.
Balls.
I know.
Jumping the fucking
you're
gun.
You're the guy now. You're the Bobby.
Thanks for letting me finish.
We never let you finish.
I know you don't.
Anyways, go ahead, finish.
Then you won't love us.
No.
Sorry, go ahead.
Now you don't get it.
Proceed. Go ahead.
Come on.
No. Now I forgot my train of thought.
Go on with the boar, Phil.
For fuck's sake.
Okay. You fucked me in not a good way.
Did you say boar, Phil?
Yeah, you guys don't know where that's from?
No.
Not chlorophyll. Borophyll.
Yeah, there you go. Josh knows.
So breaking down these points here, I mean, it looks rather suspicious.
Yes.
I don't think so.
By the way, here's the thing.
Here's the thing that gets me, and we'll get into this more. Go ahead, Ash. Go ahead.
Because I forget. I think I have undiagnosed ADHD. That's another day. Mm. But so the guy that allegedly claimed she paid him to murder Kurt died in a mysterious train accident only days after he came forward with that.
Train, yeah.
So what's that about? Kind of weird.
Yeah. Gotham Jenny, to you, Bobby. Courtney's attorney found the note in her purse with the writing, get arrested, and also a paper practicing handwriting that is supposed to match Kurt's.
Suspicious.
Right? In her purse. This is in her purse, Bobby.
That doesn't look good.
Okay?
Is this on Soaked in Bleach? Where the fuck did
no,
we get
this is
info
multiple.
From?
This is from the attorney and private investigator. Both published this.
That was on Soaked in Bleach, too, of course.
This lawyer now works with the private investigator, and Courtney also hired, and they both believe she did it, and they run a website. We'll get into that more, chat.
Fucking believe it, man. This is crazy. All right, go ahead.
All right, so.
Okay, now I'm all lost. Okay,
Obviously, we talked about the note a little bit, but let's just touch on the
question. Who the fuck's going to write a letter that says, get arrested?
Maybe she didn't want to forget. It's pretty important.
Well, Bobby, you set alarms for literally everything. You had to be writing notes in the 90s.
If I killed somebody.
No, this is before. She had, Bobby, you're a big vision board person, right? So sometimes you got to write it down in order to do it. You set alarms to mail this or do that or do this so that you don't forget. In the 90s, they don't have smartphones that you can just be like, hey, Siri, set an alarm for 9 p.m.
Get arrested,
right?
So why would she want to get arrested?
She wanted an alibi because
her getting arrested lined up in the same time of Cobain's death. So they're like, no, she was getting booked here.
Right. But you're not going to write that on a fucking thing, get arrested.
I didn't think if I know that I'm going to kill somebody.
If I know that I'm going to kill somebody. I'm not going to fucking write a letter or tell Siri.
I never thought
I'd
see.
I'm not
going
to say, hey, Siri, set an alarm for 10:30 p.m. Woody, would you like it to say? Get arrested because I'm going to kill someone.
Bobby,
you're not going to fucking
Bobby,
do that.
Bobby,
I'm pissed now.
Are you a heroin addict as well?
Honestly?
Bobby. No. That's nothing to joke about.
No, I'm not.
But no, she was a heroin.
She's a junkie.
She was also the lead singer of a band, Hole. It could be the name of a song that she wanted to
sick song name.
Get Arrested.
Get Arrested. Could be a song exactly. title.
It could be.
Be a song title.
This is bullshit,
Bobby, but at the same time, I've never thought I'd see you set an alarm to get food or anything like that, but you do.
You call me fat?
No.
I literally have lost 20 pounds. Now you're calling me fat.
No.
Literally.
You know what I mean. Anyways.
You could have said anything.
Anyways.
Wait, okay,
Bobby,
wait.
I didn't see you set an alarm to send
okay,
mail.
I'm really, y'all in. I'm really the boys in now.
Go ahead.
Someone was asking what Soaked in Bleach was. It's a documentary by the private... That a documentary Bobby hates, apparently, that by the private investigator about his theories on Courtney Love having set up, having him murdered and set it up like a suicide.
It's crazy.
So, okay, I don't even know where we're at anymore.
We're gonna break down
the
notes
just
some more.
We should end this whole damn thing, honestly. And then we say what we want to say.
No,
and end this,
Bobby,
I'm mad.
No. No.
All right.
We're gonna break down the suicide note just a little bit more. There's just a couple quick facts before we move on to other options, which could be an accomplice, a mishandled case, all that good stuff. So we'll just break down real quick the rest of the suicide note that we
okay, wait,
time.
I just want to say other little questionable things is that she did not want the private investigator to go check out the house for some reason. She wanted him to stay away from the house. Why would she call an electrician to put an alarm? I guess one theory could be maybe she wanted to be alerted for when if Kurt went there to hide out because apparently he was hiding from her. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Or she wanted someone to find the body because it was taking too long.
And she never visited the house. That's what always rubbed me wrong.
Yeah.
She said she was busy, like she had business to attend to.
I mean, again, if you're a junkie, who knows what that business and what takes precedence over even a missing husband. So, okay, so we're going to go into a questionable suicide note.
Just some quick facts on it.
Yeah. So the second more disturbing note in Courtney's handbag was a handwriting practice sheet.
Thank you, Love That Metal, for the gift sub. Yep.
Kurt Cobain's suicide note has been analyzed by handwriting experts who unanimously agree that the first portion, the bulk of the letter in which Kurt seems to be addressing his fans and discussing why he's choosing to quit Nirvana and to quit the music industry, is written in Kurt's own handwriting. The very bottom portion, the only part of the note that alludes to suicide, is written differently and has the look of someone trying to copy Kurt's handwriting style. Handwriting experts analyzed this portion of the letter alongside the practice sheet found in Courtney Love's handbag, and the form and shapes of the letters match almost identically. In addition, she repeatedly wrote specific letters and phrases that showed up in the part of Kurt's note that identifies it as a suicide letter. Many people believe it was not a suicide note at all, and that the bottom portion was added later on to make it look like one.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, let's just keep moving on.
Bobby's not happy right now.
It's okay, Bobby.
You're getting all your fucking facts from, you know,
no,
Soaked
not.
In Bleach, and Tom Grant made Soaked in Bleach.
No, it's not all from Soaked in Bleach.
It's like this. It's like this. You go to Fox News, you fucking hate Joe Biden. You go to CNN, you hate Donald Trump. So it's like, it's all bullshit.
I get that it could be
Bobby,
biased.
Bobby, did you get,
it
did
is
you
so
research any?
What?
Did you fact check anything at all? Or are you just going off your own feelings?
I'm just going off my own feelings, and I know the story a lot, obviously.
Because you watch Soaked in Bleach.
I fucking hate Soaked in Bleach.
It's pretty interesting, I will say. It's just
when there's a documentary out from the guy. Tom Grant did Soaked in Bleach. Correct me if I'm wrong. Can someone fact check that for me?
He did.
Thank you.
He did.
So this guy, he's seeing an opportunity to make money. The guy is a fucking private investigator. How much money does he make a year, honestly? How much? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Who gives a
I'm
fuck?
I'm not sure. But here's the thing is like...
Yeah, I don't give a fuck, but my point is, selling the documentary, writing a book, man, that's fucked up.
I get it. You want views, you want sales.
If I was Courtney, I'd sue the fuck out of him.
But let me... That's true. I don't know how he hasn't been...
I would sue the fuck out of Tom Grant.
The attorney has tried. But the thing that stands out the most to me in the documentary is the recorded tapes of the lawyers and friends and band members, and you can't fake that.
You can't.
Even the attorney was like, "Are you recording this?"
And Bobby,
he's like, yes.
And Bobby, to your point, I don't want you to feel like this is one-sided, but you have to understand like there's a lot more we have to dive into on if she did it rather than the simple explanation of he was sad he killed himself, right? You know what I mean?
I'm with this.
Okay.
I'm feeling this.
Okay.
But here's a train of thought as we move on with this, okay? Let me just throw this out there, okay? You just gave us a fucking stat, a fact check. We checked it off, right?
Yeah, this was checked by three people.
I don't even care about that.
Okay.
You gave me a fact in here. If it was in this, we could look it up. You said to me, you said to all of us, you said that Nirvana is bigger than Elvis, Michael Jackson, John Lennon, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We all heard that, right?
That Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, well, Kurt Cobain.
So he would want to milk it.
Okay. How many years has this been? This happened in what, 94?
94.
20 years? Okay. 25 years?
25 years, right? Math. Okay, right? Math. 25 years. 24 years. Math. I'm terrible at math, right? You're talking about arguably the largest artist to walk this fucking planet. We're in a blue bubble spinning in outer space.
Uh-huh.
Kurt Cobain, we fact checked this, is the largest artist ever.
Published by Forbes
published
in 2006.
By Forbes. And we're going to sit here 24, 25 years later, 26 years later, whatever this is, and it's never been reopened. It's never been, she's not guilty. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
well,
that's where
they destroyed. Well, they melted the shotgun. They destroyed the guard, the greenhouse where he was murdered, and there was a lot of biased things in the Seattle Police Department, which they're now hiding. And they're
that's a great segue.
That's because the cops fucked up.
Hey, yeah. That's a great
cops
segue.
Fucked up.
So
fucked up.
Ash, we're gonna skip the accomplice for right now, and we're gonna go to how the cops
case.
And the inconsistencies in it, chat. So we're gonna talk about the inconsistencies and the mishandling of the case.
Why are always the I'm sorry if anybody in this chat is a police officer, a detective, or whatnot. Every case we do, the police. Why are they always fucking?
Because they're humans.
But here's
we all.
But here's the other thing.
We all make mistakes.
You know, but I have to say, the only reason we're also hearing about this and there are controversies of these cases is because of that pure fact, right? If it was due diligence, if the investigation was done and there was a clear answer, this case, we would not be even be, like, we'd probably talk about this case, but not in depth like we are now. And that's why, obviously,
the
these cases you talk about, you seem like it's forefront with law enforcement, but that's why we're talking about it.
Like, the guy who deemed it a suicide and checked it off was not even, like, he was, like, a beat cop.
Yeah, like a level one cop. If there's, like, levels, he was, like, the bottom level.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like they didn't do any fingerprinting.
That's insane.
They didn't do any. There was. They did nothing.
Well,
there was no like.
Well, let's get into it.
Science.
Let's get into the mishandling and the inconsistencies in the case.
Mishandled case. Seattle PD did a poor job on the case. The chief of police at the time even admitted so himself and stated that it merits being reopened. They assumed suicide from the start, so any evidence suggesting homicide was dismissed. There were many errors in the official report. For instance, it was written that the greenhouse door where Kurt's body was found was locked from the inside, making it impossible for anybody but Kurt himself to have been in the room during his death. This was false, as the door had no deadbolt, just a push lock that could be locked on the inside by someone before exiting. The lead detective in the case was a corrupt cop who quit the force years later when threatened with being charged with evidence tampering. Also, the crime scene photos were not even developed until earlier this year, a whole 21 years after Kurt's death, which is extremely unusual for a death investigation. So do we think the cops were paid off? I mean, if paid...
I just think it was a mishandling.
The cops fucked up, and when you make a mistake, you know, if you don't take...
You can't look stupid.
Exactly, you're going to pawn it off
like
on
idiots.
Someone else, you know?
Yeah.
I think what they did is basically they were lazy about it. Yep. They didn't care, because if it becomes a homicide, now it's fucking... issues. Now they have to, but they already went too far into like touching stuff, deeming things, making there's when you even when you deem it within 24 hours or some kind of hour, they deemed it a suicide. That doesn't happen. That is not a thing. Like, you have to like go through, there's all these things you have to go through before you can deem things suicide. You have to actually like investigate, you have to autopsy, you have to do these things. They did nothing.
Right.
They went right to the media and said,
why did they do that?
But
I don't believe that it's because they were lazy. Like, this is apparently the biggest star of all time. How could you be lazy?
I'll take the defense of the law enforcement in that case, right, for a quick second.
Of course you would.
Well, I'm just saying, from that standpoint, I mean, think about it, right? You're walking into a scene, obviously, disclaimer, I have no law enforcement background. I had a neighbor that was an FBI agent once.
Jake's a rat.
Anyways.
Jake works with the cops. He rats you out.
So, like, my thought is, like, you walk into a scene like that, you see a shotgun, you see him laying there, and you see a suicide note. Mm-hmm. Instantly, it's just like...
And heroin.
Instantly, it's just like, okay.
Fuck. Yeah.
you know, let's
okay,
just,
I see that
you know
point.
What I mean? Like,
yeah.
coming in.
That's heavy.
I said that. Thought he was a junkie and didn't care.
That's heavy.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Little trouble. Thank
you for that, Mega
also,
Man.
They cremated, they cremated his body within, like, 6 days.
That's crazy.
Well, what the fuck else
so they
you
melted
do,
the
I
gun
mean?
Down, cremated the body.
Oh, like, double check.
They yeah, like,
Bulldog,
you know, honestly,
shut it.
Like, honestly, it's, like, one of those things. It's, like, I think they made a bad decision right off the top. And they were so deep in a mistake that they had to just keep rolling with it. But again, they switched out the entire police force because of years later, because of all this bias shit, all this wrongdoing, and all these things of like, just being fucking negligent, just being negligent, not even being like paid off. It was just like negligence.
Well, Ball's question for you: you probably out of all of us would know this since you. You know, you love funeral homes and cremation and all of the, you love death stuff.
Oh, yay, we get some job facts.
Fairy Winkle here says, isn't that the usual procedure for cases that aren't suspicious? She's talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's usual, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So if you're not thinking the suicide
so
is a murder, it's not like they rushed them to get cremated.
But when there's any kind of thought, any kind of little inkling, which Tom Grant, I know you hate him, but he was outside being like, hey, I have other facts. I want you guys to listen to it. And they just ignored him and shoved him to the side. If I came, say something happened to me and you came to the door and was like, hey, I heard there's other things going on. Soon as someone says that, it's not a dead case. Now you should be researching and doing things and going, doing your due diligence, being like, just to double check that that's an actual scenario. So these cops were just like,
yeah,
I don't
but you
hear
know what?
It.
You know, we don't know that, you know, to your point, Buzz, this is a good point. You know, I think a lot of private investigators, some of them are fucking dirtbags, I personally think, you know, and they got dirt on people, literally, you know, they got shit on people.
That.
He could have been a fucking scumbag, a private investigator, and local cops could have known that. And Tom Grant, I'm not saying that he is, I'm just throwing out my thoughts.
Tom Grant.
But he's got this coming to him if he put out soaked in bleach like that. Like, maybe they knew, this guy's a fucked up private investigator. I mean, look how many shitty lawyers there are out there. Look how many crooked judges
there
are. Look how many crooked people there are out
cops.
There. You know?
Well, the thing is, he was a police officer, and he was a very high-ranked police officer. And when he left the force to become a private investigator, he left on very good terms. Okay. This was actually another thing that was discussed. And even when you look at his background, he has no negativity on his docket as a police officer.
That's fair.
Obviously, that's based on researched a tiny bit.
That's based on Soaked in Bleach documentary he did. You mean? Yeah.
No, I've never seen Soaked in Bleach.
Bobby does not endorse Soaked in Bleach.
Well, I think anytime you watch something like that. Well, I think anytime you watch something like
you got to take
that's
step
one-sided.
Back.
Like,
yeah.
You go,
I don't
you go to
bias.
Fucking Fox News, you're gonna hate the fucking Democrats.
Stuff.
You go to CNN, you're gonna hate the Republicans. So, it's all fucking trash at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So, Soaked in Bleach to me.
But
yeah, go ahead.
I never saw Soaked in Bleach. I was doing other research, and those were some of the things that came to fruition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, again, if we were like deep diving into this case for 2 weeks, you know, 3 weeks, mm-hmm. if this is the only thing we were doing, I would have dove in and looked at this cop's records and like really actually like, you know, done like intense research because I have problems. But to my knowledge, he was on paper, a good cop that retired and wanted to become a private investigator.
Yeah. And Otter made a good point. You know, you have to also have to imagine having the title of being the person who solved the case, you know? So being so quick to quote unquote solve it and having that title must feel good and help your career, right? So just throwing that label solved suicide done.
Wait, I guess.
Oh, well.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To the police officer.
Well, you're not really solving anything. But.
Right.
I think they just saw. They went off of the 90% of what they or 95% of what they see.
Yep, right.
With because you know
a junkie, fucking suicide.
A junkie with a shotgun and a suicide note. Yeah. What would you say?
Exactly.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
But let's continue with the inconsistency in the cases.
Okay.
Just so we can get that done, and then we're gonna go into some videos and whatnot.
The amount of hair. I gotta cover this slide. I can't read. Okay. The amount of heroin in Kurt's system was so high, three times the lethal dose, that even a heavy user with a high tolerance, such as himself, would not be able to inject it, remove the syringe, place it back in his workbox, roll down his sleeve, pick up a shotgun, and use it on himself. He would simply be too incapacitated as intravenously injected heroin takes effect within mere seconds. In addition, The prints on the shotgun weren't legible and appeared as though someone wiped it down. If Kurt handled this gun, loaded it, and shot himself, his prints would be all over it. The fired shotgun shell was also on the wrong side of his body. Forensically, given the position he was found in and the way he allegedly used the gun on himself, the shell casing should have been on the complete opposite side of his corpse. Also, think about this. Why would Kurt shoot himself in the head and leave that horrible image for his daughter, the love of his life, to grow up with when he could simply inject a lethal dose of heroin and peacefully drift off to his death? Much more poetic. I mean, not that either death is okay, but that's a more poetic way to go.
Yeah, so those are obviously the quick takes that I feel like anybody who's ever come across this case thinks to themselves, right? So obviously ending it with that and thinking
to ourselves. Well, there's one more I want to add, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
One more that kind of sways on the side that it was a suicide, because I want to be even on both viewpoints. Mm. Josh, what's the name of when your body freezes up at the death moment of death?
Rigor mortis.
There's another name. Cadaveritis or something like that. I know it's not that.
I don't mean to laugh, but
it's something like that.
Well,
it might actually be
rigor mortis.
That.
I think rigor mortis. It's rigor mortis. It's not cavern.
It's caviar. It's caviar.
It's spaghetti boy.
I swear to God.
Post mortem.
No, okay. Well, it doesn't matter.
Rigor mortis. Oh, post mortem. Death rattle.
No, it's not death rattle. It's something with a C.
I think it's rigor mortem.
It might be cadaveritis.
Okay, we'll go with it. We'll go with it. Cadaveritis.
Either way.
It sounds like something Jake has.
So the gun. It's not funny. I'm not nice laughing. Josh. I'm not laughing.
Sorry. I didn't mean to.
I'm sorry.
You can't say. Oh, I got a cramp in my stomach.
I thought I could make you laugh.
You're making me laugh? Dude, I got a cramp in my stomach.
You can't say that.
I can't.
There it is. That's it. Cadaver spasm. Boom. Told you.
Okay. Man.
That's a real word.
It's not the rash I had.
Not to be mistaken with coronavirus.
I'm sorry. I did not.
He's got it.
Cadaver spasm.
See? Kind of sounds like a joke.
This episode is so heavy, I need a little laugh like that. Sorry. All right, back to normal.
I'm really
glad
I could help you.
All right, go ahead.
So real quick, the disclaimer that...
Am I glistening?
Okay, real quick, the disclaimer that cadaveric spasm is a condition in which a group of muscles that were used profusely just before death become stiff and rigid immediately after death.
Told you. Ooh. Anyway.
Okay.
So
yeah, but rigor mortis is stiffening of the joints and muscles of the body a few hours after death.
Yeah,
so
it's like a quick spasm or like in the moment.
All right.
So the way his shotgun was like the bottom of the shotgun, the trigger was like pointing upwards, and he had like leaned the gun into his mouth, not to create like a horrible image for you, but and then his left hand, I believe, when he shot it, like gripped it and was still on the shotgun. So I don't know how someone would fake that.
Right.
That would be pretty hard to fake. So that's the kind of, in my mind, kind of proves suicide, or at least one of the facts to me that could prove suicide. So, Josh, you're good at this stuff. What do you think?
I think the shell casing is my biggest one.
Mm. For suicide or
the shell casing?
For murder.
For no.
Yeah.
Because, so what happened is I'm going to do this.
Balls.
Don't Photoshop this image later. Do not Photoshop anything in Josh's hands at all.
Balls.
We're not.
So when
don't Photoshop a hot dog.
Where the shell should have popped out should have been that way, but it ended up over here, which there was no way for it to deflect.
It could have ricocheted off something, right? Maybe the ground.
They proved it. In the report, it said there was nothing on the side, so it would have. But they don't. When a shell pops out, it doesn't freak out and go anywhere.
No.
It just kind of like boop.
Yeah, but maybe they moved it. So, maybe the electrician moved it.
You got to remember, there was a ton of people
inside.
That came in.
Just like looked through the glass door.
When they took pictures, it was on the opposite side on a piece of fabric. I think a piece of clothing. It was on the opposite side of where the shell should have came out. And there's no way when you shoot a shotgun, it goes back. It doesn't spin at all.
It kind of falls.
And you have like when you do that. So what happens is even if he had it at his mouth, it would have shot back. But it wouldn't have twisted like that. So there's no way that shell should have ended up on the left side of his body. Yeah. It should have ended up on the right side
of his body. Wait, McPapa,
that's the only
thing that... they, based on how he was holding it, they did know the direction it should have gone.
How was he holding it? Like
upside down?
The gun was upside down. The trigger was up. McPapa, it was up this way.
So he was holding it upside down.
So the shell should have popped out to the right. Because if you're going this way, it pops out to your right. Yeah, so.
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't read anything about the blood splatter analysis.
We're going to get into some
what if his leg, like, what if, like, when he, like, killed himself, it, like, I don't know, his body, like, freaked out last minute and it moved his shell. Like, I don't know.
I feel like the shell doesn't prove much. Like,
yeah, the shell to me is.
You know, I'm no dentist or anything, but I think, like, it could go, there's so much stuff that could have gone wrong there.
Dentist.
Yeah, I'm not an astronaut. I don't know about shell casing.
I was so taken back. She said, "I'm not a dentist." Like,
anyway,
I was a dentist today.
I'm a professional.
Ash, before we tap into the videos, real quick. Obviously, there is the accomplice theory that we can touch on just real quick.
Okay, so we're going to circle back to proposed accomplices. So, a local Seattle musician who went by the stage name El Deuce. Mm-hmm. Did you say Deuce? Came forward after Kurt's death and claimed that Courtney Love offered him $50,000 to murder Kurt and stage it as a suicide. He turned her down at the time, thinking she wasn't serious. But after Kurt's death, he came forward and spoke out about this. He even passed polygraph tests attesting to it. In 1996, he died in mysterious circumstances, allegedly passing out on railroad tracks and being run over by a train. Another local Seattle musician who goes by the stage name Alan Wrench is believed to be the hitman that Courtney Love wound up hiring. He is known in that scene as a very temperamental, violent person and had extensive training in martial arts and handling guns. Shortly after Kurt died, he suddenly began living far above his means, buying two new cars and putting a down payment on a house for himself. I did not know that. Did not know that.
Wait, I didn't know that part either. Hold on. Let's circle back on that.
We just blew Bobby's mind.
Wait, read that back one more time.
Oh, okay. The last one?
Yeah.
Cue the music again, you know, again, one more time.
On it.
Another local Seattle musician who goes by the stage name Alan Wrench is believed to be the hitman that Courtney Love wound up hiring. He is known in that scene as a very temperamental, violent person and had extensive training in martial arts and handling guns. Shortly after Kurt died, he suddenly began living far above his means, buying two new cars and putting a down payment on a house for himself. I don't know. If I suddenly did that, this economy...
Was that in fucking soaked in bleach?
No.
Where did we get that fact from?
The Northwest music scene. You also have SaintsReporter.com.
Oh, snap.
NirvanaLegacy.com. Yeah.
Was this out before?
So, Alan Wrench...
We're going to have to start citing our sources before. Just so we...
Yeah, we are, because... Yeah.
Alan Wrench before was always poor. He was a drunk guy who was always broke. Then, all of a sudden... He bought a house, a new truck, and a 70s
Corvette. Thank you, Gotham Jenny.
A lot of money too fast, and I think he got money from Courtney Love for killing Kurt Cobain. That's a source that I just read that popped up.
Do we know anything else about it? Like, did a hole in his band, like, play together in the scene? Were they ever, like, seen together? Like, is there anything else to that? Because that's a big one to me.
I don't know. We can look into it and always, like, we can have, you know, if we have anything updated throughout the next couple weeks. Okay. But, chat, I want you to know one thing. And that is, we're going to solve this today.
I feel that in my soul.
We're solving this.
We always solve them. They should hire us.
These are opinions, just so you guys know.
And we're going to solve it.
All your letters, send them to Jake.
Solved it.
All right.
Okay.
So Eternal Blue quick says, why would she have spent all this money to do this when Kurt had literally almost killed himself four weeks prior in Rome. Eternal Blue, I don't know. You know, you can also look at it for the fact that take her out of the will. So it was now or never before that will was signed.
Yep.
I think is a good theory.
And if it was an overdose, she didn't get as much. If it was a suicide, is there like a thing with that?
I don't know.
Haley from DWP says, question. If you solve it, you win free passes to the festival of your choice.
Oh, well, perfect.
Perfect.
Wait, all right. What?
If you solve the mystery, someone's going to DWP Fest.
Does that work for us, too?
Ooh.
Are you guys playing DWP Fest?
Which one?
Incarceration.
Cool. No,
I'm not playing Incarceration. No. We played last year.
Louder than Life.
Louder than Life and...
Aftershock?
Aftershock, yes.
Oh, cool. So we're going to see you.
Okay, so chat, obviously, we want to start seeing your theories in a second here, but we are also going to dive down some quick video clips of the scene, all that good stuff that we're gonna go through with you guys. We can talk over it. I don't know what audio's on it. So here we go.
I say just turn the audio off so we can.
Yeah. So obviously this is the, you know, render of how the body was found. I'm pretty sure it'll break it all down. for us here. So there's the house, right? Look down. They're just showing you the position of where they found Kurt and all the different angles. Let me scrub through here.
Ohio Rob says, so the karate man shot him, kicked the shell across the room, no fingerprints.
The karate man.
On kicking something. That's an interesting point.
Done.
Okay, so this is just showing you the layout of everything. And then I pull up the interview with...
Harbinger, not much, though. If they got divorced, they had a prenup. So there was a situation there where she would have gotten this much versus...
And it was going
to
be ugly.
Bobby, to your thing, this was not from, obviously, Soaked in Bleach, but this is rather from ABC News, April 8th of 1994, an interview with the electrician that describes the death scene.
Kurt Cobain was found dead this morning at his Seattle estate. The lead singer of Nirvana was apparently at the house alone. This morning, an electrician sent to work on a security system looked in the window of the garage apartment and saw a body on the floor.
He had a shotgun laying across, pointing at his neck. And there was a suicide note stuck in a potted plant that had been dumped out.
Police officers had to break into the house to get to the body. They say the suicide happened sometime yesterday. The contents of the suicide note have not been released. The medical examiner has removed the body for an autopsy. Today, fans gathered outside Cobain's mansion, mourning the loss.
I never thought in a million years that something like this could happen. This is insane.
There you go.
Did no one hear the shotgun blast? Do you know how loud a fucking shotgun blast is?
Mm. No.
I don't know. Is it loud?
Well, here's
so fucking
here's,
loud.
Yeah,
so loud.
It's very loud. Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing is...
True Zero.
Is, you know... With that, it's like, why you know your husband's missing, so you say, right? And you're going to call an electrician to worry about your security system. And
yeah, and she, you know, how functioning of a human being was she when she was – I know she was always high and always this. And, like, I'm a functioning human being, and to remember to call an electrician to hook up an alarm system at somewhere else where I'm not at. Like, that's a big, like, that's a thing.
Yeah, but you're not
like,
on heroin. Not, like, you're not drinking. You're not fucked up.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know? Is, like, she's fucked up. She's on, yeah. She's, and this is what's on her plate in front of her is she's calling the, so I think she has a checklist. Mm-hmm.
And, sorry, don't mind and me. Don't mind me. Don't mind sorts. Me. Don't mind me rummaging. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it.
Was that a condom?
What was that?
It was my credit card.
speaking of credit cards, Courtney Love canceled all of the credit cards.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She did. She canceled all the credit cards. So she was trying to get Kurt to come back.
So, okay. Do you think hiring the private investigator was to look like she actually gave a shit about him being missing?
Well, that's what's crazy to me is because
What was the question?
Do you think that Courtney hired the private investigator to make it look like she gave a shit that Kurt had gone missing and not expecting the private investigator to turn on her and start investigating her? Because that's how this came to light. That's how this Tom Grant guy came involved.
Yeah, he swapped. He said he was working for the end goal, not for the person, but for the justice.
Yeah, so... Do you think really all along she didn't really care? She just wanted to make it look like she cared? Because that was something I was thinking. Because why would you hire a private investigator just after like a couple days? I don't know. Maybe I would if it was my husband. I don't know.
But
would you a private investigator?
I'd call the police, but maybe they wouldn't do anything.
But she called the credit card company and they told her that he bought two tickets out of United Airlines prior. So he's just... around like he was doing something else.
I mean, did she make that up or is that fact checked that he like really
that's
did
fact.
It sucks that this case sucks because cops fucked up mishandling shit. Everyone's on fucking drugs. Everyone's drinking. It's like there's no
it's the 90s. It's horrible.
We don't have iPhones. Technology.
We don't have GPS.
That's what we also have to think about is like no internet. Right. There's no like, hey, can you find this person on Facebook?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, let's show a quick simulation of the death scene.
Good call, DJ Rock.
From where Kurt Cobain ultimately did pass.
Oh, with the music too? Really? Why?
Like, really?
Oh my gosh, come on.
You know what? I am gonna turn that down.
Yeah,
I am gonna turn that down.
I don't need to hear that.
That felt nice.
No.
Sad.
I don't need to hear it. It makes me sad.
Good. We all need to be sad sometimes.
All right, so obviously...
drinking the wrong root beer.
So, all right.
We'll get in that in a second.
Let's get it played out.
So, wallet is laying there, easily findable to see who it is.
Looks a little staged.
Hey, shotgun shells.
Dude, this is a fucking... I'm not watching. This is stupid. I'm not watching this bullshit.
Wait, hold on a minute.
Just let it play out. I mean, obviously, you know.
Hey, you calm down, Gotham, Jenny.
This is the most dramatic reenactment. Yeah, this is I'm over this one.
But
here you go.
The shotgun.
Yeah,
and that's the hand, the cadaveritis hand.
You can see the shell on the left side there.
Yeah. See. So, but the thing is, it should have been out the right.
Right.
This is from Soaked in Bleach.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It actually really is.
They might have used it from something else.
This is from Soaked in Bleach, 100%.
So here we go. Here we go.
This is from Soaked in Bleach.
It's saying there's the ejector. Mm-hmm. Over here, it should be there, but it wasn't.
Mm. That's interesting.
But that's the other option, is that it was straight up and it twisted at the end. I will say I've shot shotguns before. They do have a kick. And
you don't kick that way, Jake.
Yeah, but it can
could happen.
If your grip is up here, balls. And
I guess,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
It can spin.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Like stuff's going to fucking move. Anything can happen, dude.
And apparently he was on three times the normal amount of heroin, too.
That's the big one. That's the big one for me. Because have you ever seen a person on heroin?
Yeah.
Like, how?
Seriously,
like,
yeah.
Honestly, fucking. No, me too. I've literally watched like people overdose. I've watched you know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, once that hits their stream, they're fucking like zombies.
Yeah.
And that's where it catches me the wrong way is like, this dude has so much heroin in his body. To him to take a gun and shoot himself, I see that very strange because, legit, I've watched people OD on heroin.
Hey, Papa,
I've watched people like function on heroin, and because you know, just a little fucking is it alters you, turn to a fucking zombie. So that's why I'm so
okay. Well, here's another question about
it.
that I have. Why did he have so much heroin in his system? Do we really think he did that to himself, or do you think someone staged that to make it look like he was trying to OD?
You know, I could be open. I could be open to. Some help, like he was helped in the suicide.
Wow.
I could be open to that a little bit.
Okay.
I could be open to that a little bit.
All right. Where are we at in this conversation?
I could be open to that a little bit because I'm not going to shut it down.
We've gone through everything and now we're going to start taking calls.
Hey, Satan Stupid Stepkid brought up a great point. How the fuck do we know he was sitting down?
Oh, I guess that's
true. Is it because fucking Soaked in Bleach told us?
Oh my gosh.
No, it's just, I mean, I don't know.
But how do we know he's sitting down?
Hey.
How the fuck do we know he's sitting down?
I would say a crime scene analysis, but apparently they didn't really have any there that was looking, so I guess we don't know.
Like, was he standing up or any?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's
it's like there was no crime scene analysis. There was no things like that. But Bobby, I think I like this scenario is that there was an assistant.
I'm not saying I think. Yeah.
There's so much more we can dive into.
I'm open to that. But I got my theory on it all. And we're all going to share our theories right at the end here.
Yeah.
I don't know when we're going to do it. When Jake gives
us we're
going to
take calls right now. So chat, we're going to take callers right now. 949-688-0203. We want to hear your theories. Give us a quick description and why. Caller, you're on the air. Who are we speaking with?
What's up? It's Kirk.
Hey, Kirk.
What's up, Kirk?
Hi.
So Kirk,
hello.
What is your theory, and what do you have to support that, just in a brief way?
I mean, honestly, I think Courtney did it or had something to do with it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, all the facts lead to it, like with the private investigator. I know Bobby doesn't want to hear that, but...
Yeah, we're going to save our piece, but you
know... Earmuffs, Bobby.
And all jokes aside, I'm open to it.
Yeah, earmuffs.
No, I'm open to it. I just get upset. Soaked in Bleach really did something to me because it was just so one-sided.
Yeah,
I hate that.
I haven't even seen it.
Yeah, it's...
No, you're good.
Go ahead.
All right, Kirk, go ahead.
I haven't even seen Soaked in Bleach, but like I've read the diaries and I've seen all the like the suicide notes and stuff like that, and like the handwriting is different.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, the handwriting is different on both of them, and the wording is different.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you guys saw what I said in the chat, but the way that that video showed, how would he not have a burn mark on his hand?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there was, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know. That's a big
thing. I mean, that's one thing you got to think of, too. Plus, I mean, that angle, whenever you're trying to shoot a shotgun, especially that fucked up on heroin, you know, you can't. There's no possible way. I don't see it.
Okay. But, all right. Well, thank you, Kirk. We appreciate your take.
I respect it.
And we're putting up a vote in shortly. We love you, Kirk.
I respect it.
As Bobby would say, it's good shout.
Love you guys.
Good shout.
Good shout.
Love you. Bye.
Good shout. Good shout.
All right. Next caller. Next caller, you're on the air. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
My name is Toasty Buns.
Oh, what's up, Toasty Buns?
What's up?
I don't know. I mean, I just tuned into the stream and I've seen you guys taking phone call requests.
Yeah, we're talking about the Kurt Cobain story. Do you think Courtney Love did it, or was it suicide?
Courtney did it. I'm sitting here with my brother, which we both actually like Nirvana quite a bit, so it's kind of cool that I called in right now. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, we kind of both would kind of think that Courtney had some kind of role in it.
Okay, any reasonings of why you think that?
Well,
just because heroin doesn't do that to someone.
Yeah,
I mean... You know, heroin's a pretty heavy thing. You know, he'd be pretty knocked out with what they actually said he had in him.
Yeah. Yeah, with the amount he had.
All right.
Yeah. Wow. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Toasty Buns, we appreciate your call, and thanks for tuning in.
Hey, thank you very much for taking me.
All right, bye. Go ahead and call in chat if you want to give us your opinion on it. We're going to put up the vote
here in just
a second. Yeah. Next caller, let's go to him real quick. Caller, you're on the air. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Hey,
Who is this?
Gotham.
Oh, it's Gotham. Okay. I'd love to hear your take on this. You've been looking at this for the past week and a half.
Yeah, thank you for the notes. They were great. Yeah. By the way, thank you.
Of course. Even though you think that it came from Soaked in Bleach, all of them.
Oh, snap.
A lot of
she
them
called
did.
You out.
Go ahead.
Called you out.
All right, Jenny, what do you think and why?
So I definitely think Courtney orchestrated the whole thing. I don't think she actually killed him.
Mm-hmm.
I think she planned it, and I think Alan Wrench is the one who pulled the trigger.
Okay.
What I think happened is that I think that Alan Wrench was planning to make him go a lot, you know, sooner. So, mm-hmm. Use the heroin. But if there is no, like, actual, what's the physical, like, looking of cause of death, like him having the shotgun, they would have done an autopsy and, you know, really done an investigation.
I see what you mean. So
they wouldn't have known.
So walking into a shotgun and a suicide letter, it's like I said, it's pretty summed up on the law enforcement side. They don't want to investigate it more.
That makes sense.
Exactly. But if he just did the, if they just did the heroin and he injected it, they would have investigated it further. So I think he injected it and was like, fuck, they're going to investigate this further. I better do something that's more extreme. That is like an open and shut case.
Okay. All right. Well, perfect.
Honestly, my gut says that Kurt Cobain, even if he was so depressed and unhappy that he killed himself, I really don't believe he's the kind of person that would have done it with a shotgun.
Yeah. All right.
No.
I don't.
All right, Jenny. Well, thank you for calling in. And once again, thank you for leading the force on all these notes for us. We greatly appreciate you and love you. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
Let's say a couple more callers. Caller, you're on the air. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
It's Tasty the Sub Kid. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking.
So what are we thinking and why?
I'm on the same boat with Jenny. I think that Courtney Love definitely orchestrated the entire thing, but I don't think that she's the one that pulled the trigger. I think that it was just that somebody brought over heroin and he was trying to score, and it just happened to be the person who she had hired to do the whole thing. And I mean, shit, the gun was wiped down. There were things that just didn't make sense. I mean, if somebody had been in that room after he had shot himself and they had, let's say, kicked that gun shell, it would make perfect sense as to why it was on the wrong side of the room.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
You know, I mean, somebody who's just in a hurry to get the hell out of there after that, they're not paying attention to where that shit
truth.
Is. They're just trying to get the hell out because, you know, who knows how many people just heard that and they want to get out of the neighborhood before the police show up.
Yeah.
So I don't think that she necessarily pulled the trigger herself, but I think that she did a lot of things that led up to that happening.
Yeah.
And I mean, '94, I was only 2. My mom has told me my entire life that Courtney Love was the one that did that. Entirely, like from the moment that it happened, my mom said that the moment that it hit the news, she was like, Courtney Love did that. There's no way in hell that he did that to himself. No way in hell. And the amount of heroin that went to that guy's body, I mean, he had to have known how much he needed to pump in his body to fail the first time after, you know, he learned from that. So if he was going to die from a heroin overdose, don't you think he would have just left it at that?
I would think so. Yeah, I would definitely think so.
It's so fishy.
And Mega Man made a good point, too, up there in the chat. It just went up to the top. Where'd it go?
Just scroll back, Jake.
He
probably acted as a friend, someone he knew or kind of trusted.
So, yeah, he had just broken out of rehab, and he probably would have really wanted heroin and probably would have accepted anybody that was just showing up with it, you know, or offering it to him.
And if she's calling the security company or an electrician to come and, you know, set up an alarm system here, somebody had to have known that he was there. Someone had to have. I mean, she had eyes and ears everywhere looking for him. It's not like he's hard to miss.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Well, we appreciate your take, Satan Soup Stepkid, and love seeing you here. And we really appreciate your opinion. So we'll be voting here shortly.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Love you guys. Thanks
all
for
joining us. Bye.
Y'all have a good rest of your time.
You too.
Bye.
You too.
Should we do one more? We'll just do one more. And chat, we're going to be putting up a vote for you guys to vote. I can't use certain words in a Twitch poll. So it's going to be by himself or Courtney Love involved or
I would just put Kurt and Courtney.
Okay. All right. So another last caller. Thank you for calling. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Hey, it's Marissa.
Hi, Marissa. How are you?
I'm good.
So what do you think and why?
Okay. Okay, well.
Thank you for calling. Who do we have the pleasure
Are you listening to us on the stream or are you listening to us on the call?
I'm Marissa.
On the stream.
Listen to us on the
really
call,
think
yeah.
That the heroin would have done him in.
Yeah.
So I think that whoever it was, I don't know if it was assisted suicide per se, but I think that he was definitely either wanting to end it or something, and someone just made sure that it ended. Because that shotgun, there was no reason for the shotgun shot, unless they really wanted to make sure that he wasn't coming back. Because you could, depending on the heroin, maybe have saved his life. But I doubt it with as much as there is. And that electrician just looks shady as hell. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, we appreciate your opinion. We'll be voting here shortly. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Since no one has my back on this, I got to jump in here on the chat here.
Yeah,
Harbinger said, everyone keeps saying he was too high to function. I don't understand how we could say that. I'm thinking the same thing. How the fuck do we know that? Like, we don't know
that.
Like, you have no idea. Like, you don't know that. Like, until you do heroin, you would not know, you know? They say you can't drink alcohol and drive, and I see Jake drink and drive all the time.
Bobby, do not say that on the record.
Do not drink and drive.
I'm just kidding.
Do not drink and drive.
Jake, I'm not sure.
Honestly, that's a good shout.
Drink unsweetened ice.
That's a good shout. Yes. That's a good shout. You don't know if he can handle
fucking
3 gallons of heroin.
Apparently, he did heroin a lot, right? So maybe he was high functioning, like a high functioning alcoholic.
Dude, literally, like, okay, Josh, right here. I have definitely had friends who are very functional heroin users. I'm not going to mention names.
Yeah,
I've toured with 2 heroin addicts.
What?
Yes, I'm not going to say anyone who the fuck it is. Okay, they were very fucking functioning. Like,
yeah,
very
but at the same time, but Bobby here,
dose,
okay,
though?
Bobby,
hey, I've been 3 times the legal limit of drinking, and I mean, I've made some horrible decisions.
I still could go to the fridge and do shit.
Yeah,
I made bad decisions.
Well, chat, here is my counter to that.
In a bad mood now.
And just to obviously be devil's advocate, is that you know, the toxicology report saying three times the lethal dose.
Okay,
right?
But you take a toxicology report of someone wasted of 10 shots of tequila, which I've seen you on 10 shots of tequila.
Bobby wants
toxicology report
like,
say you were getting fucked up.
Apples and oranges.
That's yeah, fair. But it has a, it affects everybody
alcohol,
differently.
Not the same as lethal dose it, of
it's lethal. He's saying lethal amount, and you're talking about being drunk versus being lethal. Like, what's a lethal amount of tequila?
I don't know.
A lot.
Fucking four.
So it'd be like
four shots?
What? That,
five? Six?
No way. I'm saying
10 bottles.
So a
eight
bottle, like two
off,
bottles.
Bobby?
So imagine two bottles. Imagine six bottles of tequila.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to say.
Maybe you had a high tolerance.
I've had friends who drink alcohol daily. They wake up, they pop pills, and they drink daily, right?
Don't talk about Jake on the stream.
It's me. Yeah. I'm friends.
You can't, you know, they're functioning. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are functioning.
People need it to function. They need it to function.
Right, but I'm saying, like, just because someone's two times the limit or three times the limit, you don't know how that affects
that's
that
true.
Person.
That's true.
You
I
don't
do
know
agree.
How that affects. You can't use that. Can't use that.
So we're 2 hours in. Do you want to put up the
well,
poll first,
well,
Jake?
We, are
do
we
want
gonna
hear each of ours?
We want to initially do each of ours, okay. Right? That's the format I want to go with. And yeah, we're going to go a couple minutes over, which I think we're all okay with it, just a couple minutes.
We always go over.
Yeah.
It goes by so fast.
Well, we're enjoying ourselves. I mean, it's a good conversation. There's a lot to unpack in this. So let's start with you, Ash, and what you think and why.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, Bobby. But
that's okay.
I do think it was murder. I think, you know, this is just my opinion. I don't want to, you know, get a cease and desist letter. But I think that somebody hired someone to make it look like a suicide. And I think after they tried to kill him with heroin and maybe succeeded, maybe there was an overdose, propped him up, put the shotgun in his hand backwards and pressed on the trigger and then wiped their fingerprints off. And in a hurry to get out before people could hear it, fumbled in the crime scene a little bit and locked the door and then closed it behind them. And that's what I think happened.
Okay. Fair. Okay, it's fair. Balls.
Good shout. Fair.
This would be really strange, but I feel like, so with the suicide letter, I feel like someone got him high, pointed a gun at him and told him to finish the letter.
No way.
And said, you know, this is, you're going to die today and you're super high and this. And he wrote the letter, but that's why he wrote it strangely, so people would know that it wasn't his handwriting.
Or maybe because he was high.
Or because he was high, telling him to do that. Gave him the gun and just said, you know, all right, you know, he was so fucking high. They put it in his hands and they helped assist him to kill himself.
Okay.
That's all.
Wow.
That's a fair point, Balls.
That's good.
Yeah. Not what I was expecting.
Bobby.
Really?
Yeah, but I also, you know, give some, obviously, we know what you
be
think.
Be true
but,
to your
you
heart.
Know, yeah.
What do you think?
I've always thought he killed himself. And for me, I think that suicide letter, it hits home to me a lot, you know? Like, and Balls and Ash, like, talk on this for a second, right? Let's talk about this for a second. Let me back up. When I started Blackcraft, we touched on this a little bit earlier, right? When I started Blackcraft, I never started Blackcraft to be famous or to make money, right? Like, it was more of like a passion project. We wanted to create something that was very like, hey, if you didn't feel like you belonged here, right? And just like, because when I would tour with Motionless Balls, like, you being emotionless or what you do on New Year's Day, right? Like, how many girls look up to you or kids look up to you with the hair? They feel a certain way, right? Balls, like, with Motionless, same with you, man. Like, wearing the makeup, the lipsticks, doing what you do. It's like, it's a community, right? And people can feel like they belong to something. And that's when I started Blackcraft. That's what it initially was, right? It was create your own future, believe in yourself. Hey, fuck, if I can help inspire someone. Because from touring, working with bands, right? For me, it was seeing how these people need something, need a place to, like, call home. You know what I mean? Like, just they want to grab towards something, right?
Oh, I could see how I was born from that, for sure.
For sure. You both are. You guys both are.
We were there.
So when I started Blackcraft, like I'm saying here, it was never about the money or fame. I'm not famous by any means, but I'm just saying, like, it was never about that, right? And as Blackcraft grew, it grew into this monster, and I'm very thankful and I'm very appreciative, and I'm so grateful for everything it's grown into today, right? I've been able to provide for people or do things I've never could be able to do in my life. I'm very thankful for those things. But what people don't realize is what comes with those things. The responsibility, the pressure, right?
Yeah.
I got 70 plus, you know, people that work with me, that I'm fucking responsible for. And you're responsible for their kids, their families, right? Yeah, I'm not fucking famous by any means, right? I'm a fucking speck of dust compared to Kurt Cobain, right? So imagine the amount of pressure. The only two people in this room that could really understand really that would be you and Balls, right? Because you guys were, you know, or you still are a musician. Balls, you still are too, actually. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys can understand that pressure and how these kids look up to you. And no offense to anyone here, but none of us are Kurt Cobain, right, to that level. I mean, fuck.
I couldn't imagine.
I'm friends. Would never say who, but I'm friends with, you know, a dude in, you know, dudes in some of the biggest bands around, and I know they battle shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know they battle shit. So I feel like, and on top of this, and when you break down that letter
I definitely get it.
The daughter thing, and when he talked about, I want to bring it up because I want to bring up what he said really quick.
There's no doubt that majority of that letter definitely came from his mind and his heart, for sure.
For sure. And
yeah, I think the dude was sad as fuck. And
I was just looking.
I think.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, no, I just think, Balls, I think for you, especially not being in, you know, touring like you are anymore, those, I mean, I remember when you called me when you left Motionless, you know, when you were leaving Motionless.
That's what I was going to say. It's like,
you didn't fucking enjoy it anymore, right? And
no.
Imagine being Kurt Cobain and having those feelings. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's times 100,000.
Absolutely.
No, that's what I said earlier is like.
No, you go ahead. Good.
I was going to say, like, to me, like, I believe he did want to commit suicide, but I don't think he could do it. And I think that's why there was, like, some kind of assistance, some kind of, like, there was something that happened in that room where he was like, I'm over it, just fucking kill me already kind of situation. And that's kind of why I was out with that kind of situation. So, because I get it, and we all get it. Like, I felt so much pressure, and that even when I left the band, like, it was great. We had a top 10 radio fucking album. We were touring with Slipknot and fucking Korn and Breaking Bad, like doing the biggest tours, and I was like, I fucking hate this. Like, this hurts. Like, not touring. I mean, it was just, it was a very toxic situation because of all the weight that was on your shoulders every day.
And Balls, not and to stop like, you, but I gotta stop you on this, right? That pain and feeling that you felt, okay? You felt that shit sober. So you had clear thoughts.
Yeah.
You had fucking clear thoughts. Imagine feeling how you feel on fucking heroin, on fucking alcohol, on fucking pills.
Like,
I mean,
you would just want to die.
Are you kidding?
I
drink three things of fucking tequila, three drinks of tequila, and you could send me down a fucking tailspin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm fucking not in a good fucking headspace. But I wake up, I work out, I eat healthy through the day, things hit me. I can deflect it different, right? But when you're fucking on drugs like that or drinking like that, and it affects everybody differently, right? It's like, Balls, you get a headache, you might take two Advil. Fuck, I might need four. You know what I'm saying? Like, it affects everybody so differently.
That's true.
To me on this, I just feel like it was suicide. Like, I would be open to the sense of, like, I don't think...
Someone was in the room. I think someone was in the room with him. That's what I'm saying.
Here's my take on it, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm honestly, and I don't say this just to say
exactly
this.
Exactly, stupid.
I'm down the middle, right? I think it's a combination of someone being in the room and, you know, Camp Lost Dignity just said, you know, maybe someone pushed him over that edge or whatever. You know, I think also it just is it coincidence that everything lines up against Courtney, you know, but also the fact, you know, it could be the situation where he just wanted to get high. And someone came over with all that, you know, product, if you will, pushed him over the edge, and you know he started feeling those thoughts and whatnot.
Yeah,
and was it
Courtney?
No, I'm not sure.
And
anymore.
People and to bat the, you know, Courtney and him, right? If Courtney is the one that injected him with the heroin, you know they were both users, right? It could have been a situation where they're both sitting there.
Yeah,
she saw an opportunity. Like, yeah, let's just do a little bit more. Let's do a little bit more. And then she gets them to do a lethal amount. It doesn't completely do it, right? But and then, you know, the thoughts start going, whatever, and that's what, you know, maybe pushed them over the edge.
Yeah, I think it was like a just fucking do it. I mean, when you're at that point already, anyway, if someone tells you to push you over the edge, you're just gonna do it.
Yeah.
Like, all right, fuck it. I'm like in a space where I don't know where the fuck I'm at. I'm depressed. I don't know if I'm getting divorced. I don't know if I'm doing this. I don't know whether like the world is looking at me to create the next fucking Smells Like Teen Spirit. Like I'm, and then someone in that room was just like, just fucking do it.
Yeah.
And then he just
I'm torn now.
Yeah.
And now I'm torn.
I think there was someone in the room that assisted with whatever situation happened, whether someone.
Okay.
That's why
okay.
I'm kind of.
Hey,
in the middle
Doug
of
Weston
that
asked the best fucking question, and I swear to you, I thought about this earlier, and I completely my mind blanked. If the electrician got in, why did the cops break it?
Okay, so we don't know if did the electrician go in or did he just look through the glass doors.
I heard he just looked through the glass doors.
That's what I heard.
Okay, I thought the electrician walked in and saw it. That's what I thought.
All the knowledge I have is he saw it.
Yeah, it's because he saw it.
Because they were like big glass doors.
Anyways.
He did say something about seeing the suicide note in a planter, though.
Wait, what?
Did he see that? Remember in the interview, he said he saw a suicide note in a planter?
It was like the flower pot thing or whatever.
So a lot of great questions still to be answered, but our job here is to have our verdict within our community of what we think overall. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this will be an ongoing thing. This is not to create tension between us. This is all, you know, we're just doing this, you know, to talk about things that have happened in the past. And, you know, true crime's it's a fun thing. It's controversial. And that's what, you know, we want to open up the lines of communication.
Yeah. Faye for Pace says, I can't imagine how rough this is for his daughter. She will really know if it was her mother. I think about that.
Yeah.
I think about that a lot. Like, I'm on social media and they're like hanging. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
When I came and I was sad today, it was because of like that. Like, you see them, like, imagine that every day. Like, he doesn't have to see it every day. They have to, like, as a child, like, she doesn't know if, like you said, doesn't know if her mother did it, doesn't know if you know what I mean? Like, that's terrible.
You know, one thing I want to add to on why I think it was suicide, and Jake, can we bring up that video I sent you? I know you can't play it, but can you go to a time mark for me? Can we play, like, 10 seconds?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think in
life, time mark.
When you look at people, you look at a dog or you look at an animal, whatever, your eyes tell you everything.
Okay.
Eyes tell you everything about a person, to me. Balls, you agree with that to some degree?
99.9%.
Okay. So to me, whenever you walk past someone, they got like a bad vibe, you could look in their eyes and be like, yeah, that's a fucking bad person. Or I could look at someone and
I don't have that skill.
No, but you could tell if someone's sad based upon their eyes.
I can sense when someone's sad.
You could see the hurt in their eyes, right? That's like the gateway to the fucking soul here.
Do.
Right, Jake? Fair?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's start it at like 4:40. We're going to let it run for a second. There's a moment where he, like, breathes here and, like, comes up for, like, air to kind of, like, watch his eyes on this.
Okay. Here we go. Let's just let this play for a second, guys.
Yep. Run that back.
That's something.
Run that back. That is fucking pain in his eyes, dude. 4:40, Jake.
Yeah.
Food for thought.
That's a good place to end it, I think.
That's good. That's good food for thought.
Yeah.
All right, chat. It's that time.
Let's solve this.
Where we are going to try and see what your verdict is. It's as simple as that. Are we okay? I want to get your guys' opinion of putting just Courtney or Kurt.
Yeah.
Kurt or Courtney, or should we put another option? Do we just go Kurt or Courtney, or do we have any disclaimers with those? Because obviously, if we're saying other people involved, you know what I mean?
I think Courtney kind of blankets that.
Yeah, okay, fair. Fair. Okay, great. Balls, where'd you go?
I'm right here. I'm coming.
See what I mean?
So chat, and if you're listening at home, make sure you tune in every Tuesday.
This is a new thing,
this
right?
It's a new thing.
Show.
On, Twitch.
I would love that. Mystery Session.
Twitch.
I have some good ideas for the next one.
Cool.
So you can create the verdict with us. Twitch.tv/DW Presents. We're here 4 days a week, but this show on Tuesdays. It is time for the chat to vote now. How did Kurt Cobain pass? Was it Kurt or was it Courtney? Top of your chat box for followers only.
I think I'm the only person
right
that
now.
Thinks it's a suicide. And I did not know this. Dusty says suicide. I really thought.
I'm tired.
I didn't think a lot of people thought. Wow.
See, I would have put other because I would have put other.
Well, I think Ash said, like, you know.
Oh, people are saying Kurt. Okay. Eternal's with me.
Because I'm saying, I just think there was someone in the room. I don't think. I don't know. I fucking. What the hell do I know?
All right, so where are we at with it? Balls. Suicide or murder? Just keep it simple. Suicide or murder?
I think it was suicide.
Okay. Ash, murder. Suicide or murder?
Murder.
I think it was assisted suicide.
Honestly, I am gonna go murder of some fashion.
My boy Jake.
Bobby, obviously you're gonna go suicide, so
I was actually going to say murder, to be honest with you. I thought Silicon Bleach was a great documentary.
Oh, my God. Imagine.
I tricked everyone the whole time.
No, stop.
You're
so full of it. I'm
just answer this question.
Well, there we go. Hold on real quick, Balls. Verdict in from the community. Thank you for all your votes. The chat is 77% for Courtney's Courtney's involvement in the death of Kurt Cobain.
Wow.
So answer me this really question, this at the end. If someone put a gun in your hand and put drugs in your body and pushed you to kill yourself, is that a suicide or is that a murder?
It's murder.
That is a great question to take home.
That's murder.
That's a great way to end the episode.
That is a great way to end. Balls. Wow.
Murder.
I didn't think we'd, you know.
Balls, I didn't think you'd come through like that, honestly.
I didn't think you'd come through like that.
I always come.
Balls.
Balls.
Can you not?
Come on.
I always come through with stuff.
True.
Chat, did we enjoy today?
Yeah, I want to talk to chat for a second. Chat, do we like
I'm clammy.
This is kind of my new favorite
clammy
show.
Too.
Bobby, your new favorite show switches every day.
That's fair.
I'm bipolar.
Did you guys miss me while I was on
chat? I think next week I talk with the guys, and of course our moderators on this channel. Once again, thank you, Gotham Jenny, for leading this forefront. Thank you, Trey, for putting us all together from Gotham Jenny and Olivia. And Olivia for adding her thoughts as well.
Do you guys want me back next week?
We'll see what we can do.
Oh,
Jake.
I mean, yeah.
I'm going to take Jake's spot. I'll sit there. But
so
Jake
next.
Here. Jake has the clap.
What?
Yeah.
Did you put that in the Discord?
Someone just said clap. Never mind. Sorry.
Anyways, chat, next week we're thinking about doing Sid Vicious. Now, if you don't know who Sid Vicious is, of the Sex Pistols.
That's a hot one right now.
That is a hot one right now. So, chat, make sure you come with your notes ready for that one. Do your research. Do your homegrown research. Whatever you want, come ready for that one. That's going to be on Tuesday. That is a week from today. That will be June 28th right here on twitch.dwpresents.
So, chat, we should do this every Tuesday?
Is this every Tuesday thing?
I'm home all summer, guys.
Well,
just saying, not going on tour till Halloween time.
Well, that's perfect, because we were thinking about just picking this back up during Halloween.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Jake, I thought we were cool.
No, we're good.
Jake was my favorite. Jake was my favorite.
Who was number two?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Did I say the quiet part out loud?
Wait, who was number two?
My bad. Never mind.
Balls, you still, we're going to end the show on, and we still got sensitive balls, huh?
Look, he's sad.
What? No, I feel
You feel
I
good
feel
now?
Much
now
better
we have a verdict?
Yeah, much better. Yeah, much better. Hmm.
Well, Jake, what I was thinking is we should give away a pair of tickets.
You hold it.
You want to give away a pair of tickets?
Which festivals are you playing?
Louder Than Life and Aftershock.
All right.
Well,
chat,
which one?
Chat, they get a pick.
They get to pick Louder Than Life or Aftershock.
Yeah.
And you got to spam.
Do I get to spin the ball before I leave?
You can.
Oh, we didn't gamble. You don't know about the gambling.
Wait.
What do you want to spam? Ash?
Spam New Year's Day.
Spam New Year's Day or
NYD.
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 NYD. Chat, your opportunity to win tickets to Louder Than Life or Aftershock Festivals.
Fun.
And if you don't win, you can get your tickets now at AftershockFestival.com or LouderThanLifeFestival.com. Tickets are selling fast, so make sure you get them now with other amazing bands. So, chat, spam NYD. Ash, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to have you here.
That was a heavy episode. Send everyone our love.
And we started off this program with that. Story. That's coming and swinging.
Only where we can go from here is down, honestly.
Down.
I never expected us to do one that's so. This was a big one, and
heavy.
We handled it really well. You know which one took a lot out of me? The Jean-Pierre one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to go to my happy place.
Some people didn't handle it well.
Some people did not handle this one well at all, Jake. At all.
Really?
No.
That's me.
Bobby.
I handled it great. I thought I was great today.
All right, the winner is. Gotham Jenny, you can't win. I love you to death, but you...
No.
Next.
Because you can go to any festival you want.
She said, what the fuck?
Little Trouble Girl. L1 Little.
All right, there you go. Either Aftershock or Louder Than Life.
Aftershock or Louder Than Life, you get a pick. Our amazing moderator, Gotham Jenny, will whisper you on Twitch. That is your Twitch DMs to get your information so you can claim those prizes. Anything else, guys, before we get out of here?
Ooh, that is fun. No, let's do this again next week.
Yeah, we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad leaving here right now.
Tell all your friends.
You sad?
I'm not sad.
I'm sad that I get to go sit in traffic now, but other than that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, chat, to give you an overview of the rest of the week, tomorrow, the Guns Club going live for Music Video Madness. And then on Thursday, we have the open submissions for Louder Than Life that you can tune in for if you're in a band. Make sure you submit. All you got to do is use the command submit in our chat box or in our about section to submit for the battle for the big stage. Open submissions starting this Thursday, followed by the Guns Club. And they're going to start getting into their karaoke competition, which you can submit for. It's in our bio as well, but you can also do it right there if you want to sign up for karaoke. And then on Friday, the Power Hour. Some guests lining up. I don't want to give out too much, but make sure you tune in for that at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I think that's it. Awesome. Chat, we love you. Nice. I know this is a heavy episode. Always remember.
Drink it in, everybody. Drink it in.
Always remember, we are here for you. You know, we are a community. We are the best community on Twitch. I will say that on record. So thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And spread the word.
And if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify and you're wondering what the fuck we're talking about the chat,
mm-hmm.
we were live on Twitch. Twitch.tv/GW Presents. Yeah. We're live. 3:30 Pacific time.
It's a lot of fun in the chat. Every Tuesday. This was fun.
The chat goes wild.
I had fun with you guys.
Yeah. It's fun. So, chat, with all that being said, we appreciate it as always. We're going to give a good old raid to our friend Chainbrain. He's over there shredding. So make sure you say hi, spread the positive vibes, and tell him DWP, Blackcraft and Space Zebra sent you. Chat, you know, throw Parlor in there too. Chat.
Thank you.
Chat, we love you to pieces. And as always, rock on. We will see you tomorrow for the Guns Club and Thursday for open submissions. Until then, have a good night. Later. Bye and peace.